to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once per 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
You have to think of the audience as a child that you're in charge of. And you have to do right by the child, and the child will ask for things that they shouldn't be given. Because it'll make them ultimately less happy. It'll be a better feeling for them. They'll look back on this thing and have something that they experienced in their lives that didn't go to hell.
He's worked with Raging Bull director Martin Scorsese. He's been called the greatest genius in American films by Le Cahier du Cinéma. Now his newfound dramatic career comes to full maturity. Jerry Lewis in Ingmar Bergman's Scenes from an Idiot's Marriage.
I am a writer. My life used to be marvelous. Now I've never felt such depression. Veronica is in Stockholm. I find myself not caring. I'm devoid of passion except for my work.
Also starring Harriet Anderson.
I've returned from Stockholm to tell you our marriage is death, a pitiable vestige by youth. I'm getting a divorce. My lawyer will contact you in the morning. His name is Sven Gunderblom.
Sven Gunderblom.
Sven Gunderblom.
Sai Heimundens.
No, repeat after me. Sven
Gunderblom.
Sven Gunderblom.
Sai Heimundens.
Forget the name.
It's a difficult name, Goindelman. It's not like Johnson. Johnson is a tricky name.
Oh, see, wow, boy.
I hate you. Smith is good.
I hate
Smith
you.
Smith is good because it's a real... Oh, no.
Make me want to puke.
I don't know. Maybe it was Freud who said, marriage is tough. It's not an easy thing. And for that, he gets his name on a museum wall. Marvels. I realized I would never see her again. And that was a shame. Because she was marvelous.
Jerry Lewis. Harriet Anderson. In Ingmar Bergman's Scenes from an Idiot's Marriage, written by Jerry Lewis and Ingmar Bergman. Coming soon to a theater near you.
Did anyone ever tell you you're a moron?
This is what you do. Go to Rotterdam, then you go to Amsterdam, then you go down the road to my city. That's right. It's a little place called I Don't Give a Damn.
Telling you, you guys are all going to jail. And you are all f***ing out of line. Take my cousin. You've been arrested for operating motor vehicles while under the influence.
I was hit by a taxi.
I need you to listen to me, okay?
What?
I need you to listen to me right now.
Was I hit by a taxi?
I don't know, sir. I wasn't out there.
Yeah, oh no. I was hit by a taxi.
You refused to submit to a taxi.
I won't say anything until he's like disgusting.
What portion thereof?
I will not say anything until he's like this.
Have you introduced evidence
to
you?
I will not say anything until he's like this.
At any trial?
I have witnesses to what I drank one and a half drink.
Okay.
Go to hell, you guys. Thank you, Scott. So
I act like a gentleman after you ask
a company for nothing.
How?
Relax.
Yeah.
I'm going to send you all to jail. I have not had a chance in all these hours to call my lawyer.
May I help you, sir?
How much for order are in?
$250.
$250? How many rims do I get with that?
About five.
Five? So I guess that's about 50 cents a rim, huh?
Yeah, about.
Let me get one.
Right on. One order.
One order ribs.
No. One rib.
One rib.
Gosh, I am hungry.
Make that one rib to go.
One rib?
One rib. What else?
You got any soda?
$1.
Oh, come on now. Look out for a brother, man. Come on. Hey, take this. Why don't you let me get a sip for 15 cents?
My cup costs more than 15 cents.
All Because pouring him a hand for a dime.
Look, you greasy-headed Jerry Curl Wan. Pay me and get the hell out of my store.
You got change for $100?
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming?
There's always somebody looking for some.
Whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight.
Foreman Drover, New Mexico, eh?
O'er the ramparts we watched.
Who else have you blabbed to?
We're so gallantly streaming.
You ought to know something about these chases. You do, don't you?
And the rocket's red glare.
What did you say?
The bombs bursting in air.
I'm just ruminating for information.
It proved through the night.
Say that again.
That our flag was still there.
Don't cuss.
Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave?
You are a lot of trouble.
O'er the land of the free.
Look, kid, the border's over yonder just 60 miles. Why don't you light out? We'll join you. Promise.
And the home of the brave.
So ladies and gentlemen, Mike O'Mara.
Bend over.
You look like the vermin-ridden son of a bitch you are.
Well, we got that cleared up. We'd like to ask you some questions. That's not strictly true.
All systems go. Prepare for countdown. 5, 4, 3...
I want to Don and Mike, but I want to all of you. And I didn't travel 3,000 miles to watch you. Incidentally, Don and Mike, I think you're on the radio. You have wit. And I don't know how you do it. You really.
Thanks a lot, Dick.
Say, I see you got some pretty good talent there for your show.
You think they're talented?
Well, no. I mean, most of them are pretty lame, right?
This is Donnie and Rebecca from Madison, Wisconsin, and you're listening to the Don and Mike Show. Go Pack.
The Don and Mike Show.
Come on, make me mad. Make me mad or I'm gonna be really mad.
It's time for Don Geronimo. Live on the air, he can't get psycho. He's not a man to cross or storm. If you do, he might just say, the master mimic, Mike Oldman, brought drinking so much that it would scare ya. Saying things that are smart and bold, asking questions like,
you have a hot dog that's how old?
Buzz for vape with the news, so let's do
grass, mescaline, cocaine, uppers, downers,
and ladies, buzz is smooth. What are you himself?
Where can I find a photograph of you?
Rock Speed Black is a good little monkey, also known to be an eBay junkie. The beginning of the show, he always does Christmas.
And also, you know, my wife doesn't listen.
And what could be said about Joe Unger? Known to be the oldest phone screener. Down so is getting stupid questions from him. Stupid questions like,
are we done with porno names then?
And that leaves us John. Probably gets more than Joe and Rob.
Thinks one day he's gonna be wrong.
But obviously, that's wrong.
So sit back, relax, and just let it go. You're listening to the Don and Mike Show. The Don and Mike Show. The Don and Mike Show.
That's perfect.
I like
because
that.
That's the way you start, and then we jump in right here.
I think that's marvelous.
He's got a lip here. He's got a big, gigantic lip.
It's absolutely marvelous.
You know what kind of lip I'm talking about, too. Thank you to Donnie Stella.
That was fantastic.
Donnie Stella's open. And now we can actually start the show.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Right. Hello there.
Hello. Got a new age girl. Tell us what you like.
the name of the group again?
Dead Eye Dick.
Like I said, New
Dead
Eye.
Dead Eye Day?
No, Dead Eye Dick.
Dead Eye Dick. Get it?
Yeah, Dead Eye Dick. That's like a private eye that's a good shot.
Exactly.
Like, right. I was thinking of something else.
Me too.
Hello.
That was our
hi there.
Oh, hi there.
Oh, hi there.
Hi there.
You know what?
What?
This is crap. We're going to stop this. We're just going to stop this.
Hello.
Hi, Jerry. Okay.
Hi, Dynamite.
We appreciate it.
There he is, everybody.
The thunder of the world! The bonus of a cold!
How does she like it?
Did you ever hear of
Kong? She doesn't like it. What's the music to where she's going?
I swear to God, he gets such a build-up.
I can tell it's the beginning of the show, Rob.
Sorry, buddy.
Wow.
Why has he got some gigantic ape parts over there?
Rob, let's go a Kong beeper right before he...
You can hear us on the intranet. You can go to our website, dynamicwebsite.com. Click on Listen Live, and we're right there. We've also got audio highlights for you on our website. You can email us. You can email us anytime at dynamicwebsite.com. As you know, we are sheltered by Yanni from your hateful emails.
Right. Yep.
So go ahead and send them. Go ahead and send him. He crumples him up and he pretends that he's Lou Alcindor.
And then he exhales through his nose.
He does. You can email us. Get in touch with our website. We're also on iTunes. If you go there and you sign up,
right,
and you get a, whatever it is, a good guy pass.
You get a membership card. You get a compass.
No, yeah, and as it turns out, when you go into the bathroom, you turn it says buy more Ovaltine.
That's right.
Yeah.
And
gigantic ripoff.
Oh, no, it's not a cup. It's a decoder ring.
The entire iPod thing is a ripoff on A Christmas Story.
Do your homework, drink your Ovaltine.
That's right.
What a ripoff. What a ripoff. So anyway, that's how you can contact us. And phone number, best way, 877-365-3636. Okay. First things first, before we get to everything that's going on today, this is a truncated week. Don't cry for us, Argentina. Once again, we have been summoned to New York.
Yeah, what do we do this time?
By the suits. This is a follow-up to the last time that we were called up there, and things have gone well since we were up there.
Yes, they have. It was kind of indicated to us that that may happen if things went well. That's why it was... you know, our big number 15 parties were kind of a gamble in more ways than one.
So anyway, we won't be here tomorrow, but we'll be back on Monday because we got to go up and, you know, meet with, one of them got laid off. So it's only two now.
And maybe there'll be, is there a chance there'll be a new one to replace the one that got laid off?
I don't think that they replaced his position.
No. Okay.
I don't think so.
All right. A lot of budget.
Which brings us to the next item, the first part of today's show. And this is where we are going to need your help calling in. First, let me just give you a little bit of background. This portion of the show on Westwood One is brought to you by Ford. Every day, somewhere, someone makes a bold move. There's a car company for people like that. So we read these, and that's a network read,
right?
Meaning that Ford, this is one of the things that we tried to do with the show when we went up to New York a couple of months ago. Ford made a big financial commitment in our national show.
Right.
And they're finding more national sponsors for the show. Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, it actually looks like they're going to finally aggressively market the show.
Yay.
Because, frankly, they've run out of all the other crap. Mm-hmm.
Well, there are two ways to market this show. Number one, you market it to advertisers on a national level, and then you also market it to stations around the country. And you're right, it does seem like they're moving in that direction.
So one of the things that they have asked us to do is to record some type of a personal pitch that will go out and later be personalized even more digitally to each of these radio stations.
Uh-huh.
This to me is a ridiculous idea, but I'm going to be a team player on this.
We've done it before. It's necessary to, I guess, play this for prospective program directors that will put us on their radio stations.
So, let's see if we could just get some calls going from out of wherever.
Uh-huh. I mean, are these endorsement calls for why you like the show? And
no, Mike, just bear with me.
I'm not sure what you're doing here.
Neither am I, but I've got a very loose idea.
Okay.
And we're just going to roll on this, and this is what we're actually going to send out.
I think I know.
This is what we're actually going to... I bet you don't.
Okay. You said you don't know either, though.
But I do.
Ah, so you were making that up.
No, but what do you think?
I think it's going to be, you know, what type of listeners do you want to target as an advertiser?
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
And I'm not playing that game with you, like,
All right. I don't always know what's in your mind.
Here we go. Are we rolling? Okay. 3, 2, 1. Hello, program director. I'm Don Geronimo.
Yeah. Oh. Play along, Mike.
Play along.
Okay. All right. Now you want me to join
really,
in on this?
No, really, you have to play along because this is the crap that's going to be on the demo starting when I started there.
I'm very sorry. Take two. This is the good one.
No. That was it.
What?
That was the beginning. First off, if you're listening to this demo.
Oh, Jesus. What do you mean it's the beginning? You mean we're really doing this?
Okay, really one more time, and that's it.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I don't...
This is going to be a fast... Just give me a chance on this.
Okay. I don't even know what's going on.
Right, that's why it's going to work.
All right, I'm ready. I'll do it just like we always do it.
Right, good.
When I never know what's going on, and nobody knows.
And you said just the other day that doesn't bother you.
No, but nobody knows. That's what I mean. I said I'm going to do what I always...
3, 2.
God, that makes me mad.
Be mad. No, don't be mad.
No, I'm not going to be mad. Look, watch this.
Who's going to take this show if you're mad?
I'm not going to be mad. I'm going to be a pro. Watch. I was frustrated. Now I'm sitting up in my chair paying attention. Okay.
3, 2, 1. Hey, radio guy. I'm Don Geronimo.
And I'm Mike O'Mara.
Now, we have a show called The Don and Mike Show. And if you are listening to this demo right now, you've probably already decided. I know that when I listen to a demo, I decide in the first 10 seconds whether something is good or not. So Mike and I, as we record this demo, are doing our show live on August the 3rd at 3:17 p.m. live on the radio.
Yes.
The question for you, before you hear the demo with our funny skits and before you hear about our tremendous TSL and our tremendous ratings and how you make money on the show and you can run it when you want it and it's barter and it's all these things that you want on a show. The question is, would you want a show on your airwaves that would do this on the air?
Because that is the spontaneous nature of this broadcast.
Now watch.
We're live on the air right now. We're not recording this in some studio somewhere far away. We're in our air studio broadcasting live.
We're going to talk to one of our little brains right now. Hello.
A tremendous gamble.
Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Don and Mike. More than meets the eye.
Where are you calling from?
Wichita, sir.
What can we do for you?
Yeah, I have a question for you about fantasy. I know my husband.
Sorry, we don't have time. But thanks for joining us on our demo.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello?
I'm calling in because you told me to call in.
You get a lot of this, too. You get a lot of guys with the radio up too loud, and we yell at them.
What do you mean you're calling in because we told you to call in? We said we were going to take phone calls.
I'm sorry. Well, then I'm giving you a phone call.
Where does your mom live?
Where does my mom live?
Yes.
In Pennsylvania.
No.
No.
Sorry.
Oh.
Where does she live?
That would be Whorville, Mr. Dumas.
Or Whoronto. And by now, if you're still listening to this tape, can you imagine this actually being on your radio station?
Oh, man, they're embarrassing us again.
Mike, the beauty is that even as flawed and frayed as it sounds, the Don and Mike Show delivers tremendous ratings and an even more tremendous TSL time spent listening. Why, in men 25 to 54, the show has reached heights beyond a 20 share. It's a straight barter deal, and you run it when you want it, meaning we are your bitches.
So, Mr. Radio Man, we hope that this small segment of our show has served to... whatever.
The show is about us and our lives, which includes crap like this.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, demos like this.
We have lots of interaction with our listeners.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I'd like to promote Don and Mike. They are the best radio PJs, shock jocks ever.
Thank you, Tua. We love being called that.
Thank you for your spontaneous call.
Thank you. Goodbye now.
Goodbye.
And now I guess they play, what, Rob? They play tapes of all the hilarity?
Fast-moving clips.
Fast-moving clips. So if you're
interested...
I thought
this was in itself a fast-moving clip.
Well, it was. There you go. And swear to God, pinky swear to God, this was really done on the air. So if this is something that you could picture getting in your car, you as the program director and listening to, and not driving off a cliff, well, then call Westwood One.
Do you think they're going to believe that part about this really being on the air?
Yeah.
I think they will. See, that's the double bait and switch. Because I'm making it sound like we really didn't do it on the air, but we really are on the air right now.
Oh, we are.
We are.
I promise you.
I'm not lying.
Hello. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Don and Mike. Yeah. I have listened to you guys for 14 years, and you're the coolest thing on the radio, man.
Yeah. Shut up.
Hey. Doesn't this sound seriously? We're broadcasting seriously right now. We're on the air. But doesn't this sound like we've got some hack that's down the hallway calling
us? It does.
Mm-hmm.
Shut up. Where are you from?
Listened to you for 14 years.
I'm where are you from?
You know what? You're just running on and on. Listen, shut up.
I'm sorry. I'm from around Sacramento. I'm not very bright.
So in essence, that's what the show is about.
What an asshat.
TTFN. AMF.
And yes, our show is heard also in Sacramento, and that was a caller from that fine metropolis.
I think that kind of...
Yeah, that's fine.
There you go. Now what we find out is if the company has any balls, and we will find this out tomorrow. Because
the company has balls.
Because that is that in fact is the demo that you and I will hand deliver tomorrow.
Very good. I think it works. Gary had problems.
Yeah.
Hey, it is the show. It really is the show.
That's why I was like saying to you, don't ask me a lot about it. I just wanted to just roll with it and get a real feel of what the show was about.
I only have one concern.
Yeah.
It was my anger. Did it come through with the callers?
All right, Buster, what do you do?
No, I was frustrated at first, and then I thought it transferred.
Mike, your Hispanic attacks and your crazy mood swings are part of the show.
Part of the show.
Part of the magic of the show.
I just think that last particular caller that I told to shut up, I mean, that's just not me. That's not really representative of who I am.
Not you. Because you treat people
the way I want to be treated. Of course I do.
Golden rule.
Of course I do.
Golden rule for the golden boy.
Of course.
Okay, so there you go.
Thanks for helping us, fat asses.
So now, that should be, Rob, seriously.
Yeah, that's fine.
Right?
That's exactly what we want.
That should do it.
That should cover our ass?
Yeah.
I mean, how long was that thing? Oh, it was like 3 minutes long, maybe?
Maybe even a little longer. Yeah. They
I think any program director putting that on who has not heard anything similar would be...
You know, my worry is that Westwood One will probably end up sounding like this. Hi, I'm Don Geronimo. And I'm Mike O'Mara. We've got a great show. Listen to it. Here's the demo. Bye.
Do we have any clout at all as far as, like, approving whether they release
that? That's why we're having the meeting, pal.
All right, good, because they should use that.
That's why we're having the meeting.
It's truly what we're all about.
That's right. M-E-E-T-I-N.
You know what that was? That was spontaneous mediocrity, which is really what this show is.
Amen.
This show is spontaneous mediocrity. How special it is.
How do you think we got Ford as a sponsor? Seriously.
Don't get me started.
Now, an email for you, Mike.
For me personally?
No, actually for all of us, but you will like it in particular.
Very good.
It is sent by Mark Atkinson.
Atkinson.
Any idea who this guy is?
Mark Atkinson? No.
He is Wayne Newton's drummer.
Oh, the guy that was a fan of the show listens out in Las Vegas.
Hey, John, Mike, Buzz, and Rob. I want to thank you once again for coming to Wayne's show on Sunday. I've played with Wayne for 6 years, and as a result, I've met and played for many celebrities. I must say my biggest thrill was meeting you guys.
Wow.
I'm a longtime fan of the show. So much, when Wayne took a USO tour to Iraq and Afghanistan, I could be seen with my official Don and Mike t-shirt. If you are ever in Vegas and want to come to Wayne's show, please do not hesitate to let me know. Let Mike know he has an open invitation to come sit with the band.
Wow.
Respectfully, Mark Atkinson.
Wow.
And then,
you got to sit in
there on the bottom of the email is the, he sent along the photo that he had taken with us.
He was a really nice guy.
Yes, he was. That's funny.
That's fantastic.
That's pretty funny. And I know that, baby, you happen to be planning a vacation to Vegas.
Yeah, I hope they're not on the road.
In the coming months.
I really hope they're not on the road. I will make an effort to get in touch with this guy and, ask him to show us around Vegas.
Would you do that? Are you take him up on that?
I don't know if I'd take him up on sitting in that, but I'd ask him certainly about that. I don't think they do that type of thing with that show because the show is so rehearsed. But I'd love to.
You've been invited.
You know what I'd like to do? Right. I'd love to do the same thing we did the other night.
Right.
Take Carla back and meet him and just hang out. I'd go see the show again.
Yeah. As someone who has performed with a major talent.
Yes.
As you know, I've performed 3 times with the Grassroots.
Right.
Of course, never in Las Vegas. It was always at a craft fair or at a mall.
To be on stage in Las Vegas.
Fairground.
Maybe I could play the congas.
You'd have to go for it.
Yeah.
You'd have to go for it.
I'll call the guy. What's his name? Mark Atkinson.
Hello. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Don and Mike.
Yeah, howdy.
Yeah, hi, this is Marcus Allen. Good day, Sacramento. I love Don and Mike.
Yeah, but you're not.
Who he?
All right, is it going to be a Sacramento Thursday?
Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Just for you, Mike.
Hello.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi there. Howdy.
I want to ask Mike a question.
Mike.
Oh, for you, Mike. Yes, I'm here.
Who would you rather have lunch with? A Yankee fan or a Sacramento listener?
Ooh, I can answer that in a heartbeat.
And I know, too.
My money's on Yankee fan.
Yeah.
Buzz, would you like to weigh in?
I'm going to say the Sacramento listener.
No, Yankee fan. One of my best friends is a Yankee fan.
Hello.
Really good guy.
Don and Mike show.
A good guy.
Hello.
Hello, it's Summer in Spokane. Don't forget your Daisy.
Okay. Right. Thank you very much. It's Summer in Spokane.
This is still our demo.
Don't forget your Daisy.
That's right.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Funny words.
To all the potential new advertisers out there, I'd like to thank you on behalf of all the idiots out here, and
okay,
I hope we passed the audition.
No, listen,
bye!
No, you did not. I really shouldn't have said that we're still doing this.
You're funny, but we're not. We're doing the show now.
Yeah, we've moved on.
We've moved past.
Our listeners have demonstrated they don't have the discipline to continue the demo.
This is really the regular show.
Yeah, but still don't forget your Daisy.
Oh, I do have a couple of updates. I know that there's a percentage of the audience that still lives in the Bethann McBride Beach Towel Club.
Yeah.
I received a call from Bethann last night.
Really?
You did?
Yes.
Spontaneous, just out of nowhere, out of the blue?
Didn't take it.
Oh. You're torturing that lady.
Didn't take it. Well, the truth is that I told you yesterday I had to go to the doctor and have some kidney stuff done.
Right.
And I was not feeling well yesterday. When I got home last night, I really felt like crap.
Tired.
And was just bent over on the couch and had one of them mighty horse tranquilizers, one of those Vinnie Barbarino Barbaro pills.
Right.
And was just laying on the couch like, going, oh, I hurt. And every time the phone rang. And my girlfriend, because Wednesday night is our regular night,
right.
When she makes me dinner, I said, if you see it, if it's somebody important like Joe,
right,
let me know. Otherwise, let me lay here and just mire in my misery.
Okay.
So hold on a second. Let me just see.
So you were ducking some calls.
At one point. I was laying on the couch, and she said, it's Rob. I said, oh, sure, yeah. Absolutely, right. Let me talk to Rob. Mm-hmm. And I said, if Bart calls, Amy calls,
right.
Buzz calls.
Hello.
Certainly not Mike. Hi there. Hello, Janet.
Hello.
Hello, Janet Adrian. Now.
Hello.
Hi there. last night, when I was, and I was charming last night, wasn't I? I really have to say, no woman likes to have this better. You know, and I only see this woman a couple nights a week, and the one night that we have is the night that I came home. She was nice enough. She's cooking dinner.
Yes.
And I walked in and I said, hi, how you doing? Went right in the bathroom, and it was just up Chuck City.
Oh, really? Oh.
Right away.
Because of all the stuff you had.
Yeah, right away. So, anyway, I'm laying on the couch. She's doing whatever, you know, like compulsively cleaning. And she says, the phone's ringing. I said, who is it?
Oh, yeah. It's your other girlfriend.
Right. She says, it's area code. And she gives out the area code.
Right.
And I said right away, I said,
the area code that says Appalachia.
I said, oh, that is Beth Ann McBride. I said, I feel like SHI. Mm. God, can you just, and by the time I said, can you just, Janet had already picked up the telephone.
Wow.
So, now, I did not get to speak to Beth Ann.
Mm.
What did Beth Ann have to say? Because all I know is that Janet, who's been my girlfriend for about 7 months now, I know she was kidding, but at the end of the conversation, she said, like, what, is Beth Ann your girlfriend?
You had a nice conversation with her, Janet?
Yes, I did. And first of all, she asked if I was someone else. It's some other girl.
Who did she ask? I didn't catch
the name because the connection was not the clearest. She was calling on her cell phone. And I told her who I was, and then she said, oh, okay.
Maybe she thought it was your daughter.
And no, I don't know. It didn't sound like Amy. And then she said, well, is Dawn there? And I said, well, he's not feeling too perky right now. And I said, she's like, well, just can you, and I said, is there a message that you want me to relay? And she said, yeah. Just tell him that I was thinking about him as I was driving home, and I miss him. And you're at the house right now? Yes. You're calling at the house. Okay, well, how are the boys doing? Make sure you give them their treats. And I said, okay.
She's asking about the dog, and she's doing a pretty good, hold on there, Janet. She's doing a pretty good imitation of Beth Ann's delivery, that Beth Ann upbeat.
Right.
How you doing? How's everything going?
Sure.
And I said, when I got off the phone, I relayed the message, and I said, I'm glad that I'm very secure in our relationship, because I would have thought that was, like, another girlfriend.
Right. Beth Ann McBride.
You haven't told her yet?
The other woman.
I never had the pleasure of meeting her, but she's always sounded very nice when I heard her on the air when she was there. But, I don't have anything to worry about, do I?
No, well, part of the reason that she was such a great producer for the show was the sexual relationship she had with Don.
Yeah. Okay.
She would talk into all of our microphones.
Yeah, you know what? I should fess up. I didn't want to embarrass myself. Yeah, all of us. She had a wonderful
single one. See, I was really last night just rolling around on the couch, like I said, just going, And Janet came over and said, now, just kiddingly, like, what is that, your girlfriend? And I turned around and gave her a look like, it was like, I said, are you effing serious? She said, she's kidding. I was not in the mood to be kidded. She sure did sound familiar, like wanted to know who I was.
Well, obviously her tone.
How the boys were. And I said something just disgusting.
Kind of.
That I wouldn't want Beth Ann to ever hear.
Right.
Just a comment.
A little throwaway comment. You were in pain.
She's a friend.
Right.
She's a friend.
Uh-huh. Janet, did her tone give you pause? Did she make herself sound like a girlfriend a little bit?
Well, I mean, not many women are calling at 8:30 on a home phone number just saying, I was thinking about you.
When she called.
I'm driving home from work. I just wanted to call and see how you were doing.
When she called and said she was thinking about Don, did she sound excited?
She had a big amorous in her voice.
Amorous. Okay.
Out of breath.
All right, sweetie.
I'm not going to take it in the fact. I really cooked you a really good dinner last night, and I'm sorry that you lost it. But I'm glad I cooked enough that you can try it again. And if you get sick again, then maybe I'm going to have to change the recipe.
No. All right, sweetie. All right. Have a good day. I'll see you later.
Okay.
All right. All right. Goodbye.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Well, Beth Ann, see, maybe you haven't explained to Janet that Beth Ann has very little else in her life. She has her work association.
Well, why me?
Because you were the boss.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
You were the main man who communicated with
her. And I say this to Beth Ann when I talk to her. She says to me, like, God, you duck my calls all the time. Sometimes Beth Ann leaves me messages where she says, I know you're there, and I know you just don't want to talk to me. I know you just don't feel like talking to me. And she's right.
She's right.
It's not because I don't like Beth Ann. I am truly fond of her.
Beth Ann is a bit of high maintenance.
And I consider her to be a true friend. It's just, she's got...
It's taxing.
She's got what I call CSS. Terry Spiewak syndrome.
Oh, yeah.
So you mean as far as the length of conversations?
What I mean is it's like, how you doing? And then good luck.
Sit back and relax.
Good luck, because you're going to hear about our cats. And I'm not talking about Carrie here. I'm talking about...
That's fine.
And incidentally, and your wife... No, can I say something? Really?
Yes.
Your wife, every time that I have spoken to her on the phone, she's really got it down.
Well, we've spoken.
Ah. I mean, as far as brevity?
No, I enjoy speaking to Carrie.
She's on and gone?
Yeah. She's very much just right to the point.
I spoke to her at the game the other night, and she, I thought, I noticed a change. She was kind of very brief.
Yeah, a lot better than she used to be. She's been working on it.
By working, you mean...
She's been in training.
Anything you want to interpret from that is
all
fine.
All right, I get it. You do the same kind of countdown you do for Make Us Laugh?
Sort of.
As far as when she's talking?
5 minutes!
See, I've never had a lengthy conversation with anyone in 20 years of our association, so I mean, I don't know that she does that. Well, I give that vibe off, I think, on the phone with everybody.
Just walk away.
I mean, with everybody. Mm-hmm. I hate telephone conversations as anybody in the world. Even with the closest person, even with my dear sweet mama, I cannot stand being on the phone. And so I've never had the opportunity to be on the phone with Beth Ann, other than just a really super brief, you know, business life. But I always thought she was like that with everybody.
They're long, man. They're
really?
Like 10, 15-minute jobbers, even when you throw something in like, okay, I got to go. Okay, well, I'll let you go, but there's just that one thing and that guy, and I met that guy, and then I went there, and we did that thing, and I did, you got to go, don't you? Yes.
So seriously, how much time... and an average phone call, just a how are you doing phone call from Beth Ann McBride, what is the average amount of time?
Seriously, minimum 5 minutes. Minimum of five minutes.
God, painful.
Did the call come before the vomit?
Simultaneous.
No kidding.
Simultaneous.
No kidding.
It's almost like my body senses it. I shouldn't say that. That's very mean.
It would tell me that the fact that she's inquiring, she's a very sweet person, very concerned about you, obviously, but... I think she probably still has that void in her life. That big, gaping, emotional hole.
No social life.
No boyfriend.
She never had
it. And really, no girlfriends. No social life whatsoever.
She's got a gaping hole. That's what you just said.
She has a void.
Yeah, always did.
I'd be curious to know if she's got any social life down in the, wherever the triangle or wherever the...
I know she's cool with her voice being on the air.
She seems to get back to void,
triangle,
hole, triangle.
Right. I'm sure we're just going to get her machine, because she should be doing her show right now.
She should be.
With that guy, with her protector. That hump.
Gaping hole.
Yeah, what do you guys do?
You don't pick out my little girl, Beth Ann.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
Beth Ann McBride.
That's the number.
Engage this person. Press 5 now. At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
It was a homewrecker.
Oh.
Hi, BA.
Hi, Beth Ann.
Hi.
We're all saying hi to you.
Hi.
We're curious about you. We want to know about your love life.
Always have been.
Mm-hmm. How things are at the triangle.
We know you called Don last night. We want to know if you, have a boyfriend or any friends at all that you're socializing. Are you socializing?
Have you a friend?
I'm scared off my girlfriend. She left me based on your phone call.
And then you changed your number.
Anyway, BA, have a good show. And, I hope you got a lot of good Mel Gibson one-liners.
Yes.
He's timely and topical. I don't know if you want to do the Jew stuff, but, at some point maybe you could talk about going to Jew Mexico. Mm-hmm. You know.
Down there, they might side with Mel.
You know, Jew Jersey.
You mean in that area?
Yeah, in the South.
Jew England Patriots.
Still doing that right-wing show?
Chewbacca.
Yeah, we had a killer list the other day. Just a killer list.
Guess you won't be playing this on your show. But hope everything's going well. And we're seriously curious about your social life. And have you a circle of friends in your new environment?
And don't forget about the biggest mistake in the history of the beverage business, Ju Coke.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Horrible.
All of these, see, because of Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson.
You can say all of this because you're attributing all of this to Mel Gibson.
That's right. His fault.
Not Charlie, Mel.
Okay, Beth Ann, good talking to you.
Yes, drop me an email sometime, Beth Ann.
Are you still running the Charlie Osgood thing on your show? I like that. The Osgood file.
All right, B.A.
Yeah, ta-ta for now.
AMF.
We miss you.
Word to your mirror.
Bye!
All right. Well, there we go. Report back on Monday. I'll give you the report on Monday on what happens
track.
If she calls back.
If you're keeping track in this segment, that's a demo and a call to Beth Ann done in the first break.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don, Mike, everybody, yes. Howdy.
Howdy, hi.
How's it? Hey, I wanted to know why Westwood One feels you guys are a refreshing change from the sages and political pundits.
Is that what they say? Did you read that somewhere?
That's what it says on...
That's part of the reason that we are going to go up there and get involved this time.
Yeah, you have to dig through the website to even find the link to find out more about your show. So when you guys go up there, you might want
to... That's what we wanted to take some advice from a listener. Who's looking at a website. What, are you looking at the Westwood One website?
Yeah.
Right.
Nice, isn't it?
Yeah. Hey, you know how many hits that thing gets a week? Carrie Spiewak has more hits a week than that thing does.
Always.
I swear to God. Okay, get out of here. Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
A lot of times I double click.
It's just another guy trying to make us feel better.
It's our career, and we will mismanage it as we choose fit.
Sure.
Right.
I think that demo's going to fly.
We will drive this train right off the track, and Steven Seagal ain't going to stop us.
In his big balloon suit.
You hear what I'm saying?
In his Michelin Man outfit.
Still a go-to for me. Under Siege 1 or 2.
I'm only Under Siege 1. Under Siege 1 on the battleship, right?
Under Siege 2 is on a lot, and it was on the High Def channel the other night.
You really? I see, I've never seen Under Siege 2.
The one with the train.
See, I've never seen that one.
Where he's got the daughter on the train, and he's got the Aryan guy that he's got to fight at the very end.
Can you really compare it to Under Siege 1? Number one, you got Tommy Lee Jones, you got Gary Busey.
Yeah, you don't have the star power, but you have much more of him.
Really? Dryback?
Is that his character?
Chief Dryback.
Is it Stan? It's not Stan Dryback. His name is Stan.
And is it Dryback or Dwyback?
Or is it Ryback?
Is it Ryback?
I think it's Ryback.
It might be Ryback.
Ryback.
But it's Seagal. He's fatter in two, isn't he?
He is, and that makes it better because he starts wearing his Nehru jackets. And a lot of the action scenes are, unlike some of his other films, where
he's in good shape in Under Siege 1.
Yeah.
He hasn't gotten fat at all. But number two, number two.
Yeah, in number two, there's not a lot of running around. His average action scene is this.
Isn't it Casey Ryback?
Winner,
Casey Ryback.
We got it, Mike. I think this is everybody's calling about now. Hello. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah. Don and Mike.
Hi there. Hello.
How you doing?
It's Robert the Angry Mailman.
Oh, hold on a second. That's like an ice cream headache waiting to happen.
I know what he's going to say.
What?
So, are you busy this weekend?
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Going to want to come on over.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
I am. I am going to New York tomorrow.
Oh, that's right.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, hi.
Radio Gods.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hello there.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Oh, I thought you were calling with a Casey Ryback.
Hot enough for you?
How about that heat?
Look, guys, I ain't trying to pull your chain, but you guys, I'm an over-the-road truck driver, and you guys have got everybody beating the country. I mean, there's no other show like it.
That's very kind. After all that, that's very kind of you.
Very nice.
Thank you.
I love your mud flaps. I love your mud flaps with Yosemite Sam.
Oh, I like Don has a few issues with truckers, sir, but I am I am the trucker's friend.
Mike, of course, is the trucker's friend.
Yeah, I like always have been.
Reclining lady mud flaps.
You know what I like, Buzz, is the Playboy logo mud flaps.
Oh, with the bunny? Yeah.
I put those on my regular just little car.
Looks good.
I always enjoy in a thunderstorm when they get that thing up to 85, 90 miles an hour when it rains.
There you go again, Mike.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Mike, really... the microphone you're talking into right now got here. Because it was on a truck.
Carried on a truck. What is the slogan? What is the perfect slogan?
In the day.
But there is a
there was an advertising slogan. Yeah, it was.
If you have it, it got there on a truck.
Right. I think that's it.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Well, let's
whatever.
Let's just talk to Robert the mailman real quick. Hey, Robert.
Hey, Don.
Hey, what's happening? Were you actually calling about this weekend?
Yeah, I wanted to postpone it until the new Madden came out. How about that?
Till the new Madden comes out.
Yeah, Madden 09.
Yeah, let me think about it. Sure, of course. Absolutely.
That'd be better because that way we can both play. You won't have so much advantage because I don't play Madden.
Robert, thanks for buying the cheeseburgers at the game the other night.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, I meant to apologize to you, Mike, if I was inappropriate with your kids. I didn't mean to go there, but everything else I did was...
It was a word here, a word there, Robert. I don't think it was the end of the world by any stretch of the imagination. Now, yeah, Don's the guy you need to talk to.
I mean, Don really threw me under the bus, and I felt bad for him.
Oh, no, wait a minute. I threw you under the bus. I wasn't the one that was screaming at the players, screaming, go back to the Dominican. And
you do at a baseball game, Don? And you just used me. You're a recluse. You don't want to be around the cross. You just use me as an excuse to leave early.
Get out of here, Robert. Jesus Christ. I don't need you as an excuse to leave early. I leave early for everything.
That's right.
I only went to see Mike throw out the pitch and sing the goddamn song.
Right? I was satisfied with that. I was completely satisfied with that.
And really, the truth is, I would have stayed longer. Except, like I said to my girlfriend, and like I said to Rob and to Carrie and to Buzz and to Mark, anyone, listen, I said, I am really feeling uncomfortably, embarrassed.
Yeah, and when the bread went onto the field, that was a bad
sign. Yeah, and when the umpire comes over, because I'm sitting in the front row.
Did you leave pre when he bought all the food or post?
Post.
Yeah, you left after he bought all the food.
I left halfway through the fourth inning, because when the umpire came up, and had hot dog wrappers in his hand, and came up to me, because I was sitting closest, and said, hey, we've got to keep the garbage off the playing field. You know, and meanwhile, standing behind me, I hear, he's from the Dominican Republic! Come on, stand up! Go back to your country!
Green card!
Green card.
You know, he's back there screaming,
Dynamite Show!
It was when the umpire came over is when I said, I think I better leave.
Yeah. good time was having. Sounds like Robert's being a little doing a little self-analysis there.
And no one joined him in his chant, though. Retard.
No, when he was having that. That's what, when he was probably talking about my kids, when he was doing the big chant with Tom. And Tom, of course, was getting really worked up, too.
Like, yeah. He was dehydrated.
Agitated he was.
Jimmy! Shut up, Robert! God damn it. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Don.
Yes, hi, Don and Mike. Howdy.
Hey, how you doing? Okay. Hey, you excited about football this weekend, big guy?
Hey there. Hey, big guy. Guess you weren't listening to the show yesterday, big guy.
Hey, Frank.
I already thanked the man with the plan, JC. I already sent out much love to my man, right. JC. His football's back on Sunday.
And all, like every good fan, that all good football comes from the Lord.
That's right.
Always has.
Jesus invented the NFL.
Jesus and football.
Jesus.
Two things couldn't be more American.
That's right.
Thanks.
John?
Hey, go.
I'm the quarterback on Jesus' team. See you later.
All right, fat ass.
That's all. See, he's got his little agenda.
That's all right. I said yesterday I weigh 214. I'm a fat ass.
That's okay.
Bye-bye.
Hey, Don, here's something you talked about at length on yesterday's show that I thought I'd bring up today.
Dumb ass!
Okay.
Have you heard about Mel Gibson?
I like fat ass. You know, I think fat ass, really, we should embrace it.
Yeah.
You know, as far as we give it out and we get it,
that's why I brought it up yesterday. I said this, I am a fat ass. And I got up this morning and I weighed myself on the doctor's scale, the real one that I don't use.
Right.
And there it was. FATASS.
Is what it is. 214. Right? Yeah, make it better when you get that number again and you broadcast that. Which I said is, you know, it's going to be.
Yeah, we'll see.
It's going to be soon.
You bet. Well,
you lost a little weight last night.
Tell me. That's why I really thought this morning I would look at it would be like 197.
Hey, it works for supermodels. Really? I mean, you know, but they do it a special way. They've got a very special series of feathers.
Yeah, it's the trigger mechanism.
Feathers.
You know. Although I did have that thing happening after a while when you're out of puke. Out of puke. And then when you're leaning over and you're dry heaving, just the smell of the remnants.
Right.
Makes you feel you got to throw up again, but it's just nothing's going to come out.
Right.
I get that when I listen to Jay Severin.
I tried the finger thing. Didn't work. I tried a feather. Never works. Finally, walking stick. whatever everything takes. Came up. But I was a little sore. But no, really, because I couldn't elicit the gag reflex with the finger or the feather.
Oh, and,
hold whoever on. Said a feather?
Last thing before we hit a break here about food.
Yes.
Rob's boy. Now listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
The apple does not fall far from the tree. Talking right. about weight,
right?
Not that Robert is fat. He's
no, he's a featherweight.
Yeah. He's a kid. He's 4 years old. He's full of freaking energy. He's a wonderful kid. He looks nothing like Rob.
Adorable.
I mean, really, he's a handsome young man.
I know. He's slim.
He is
strong.
He is. He's a nice big strong
Both
boy.
Both Rob's children are adorable.
So Rob calls me and says, "Guess what? Whenever Robert F's up, I get,
right.
guess what your godson did."
Yeah, you know,
and this isn't really an F-up.
No, it's a funny one.
A tale of heroics.
Okay, let's hear it.
You ever go to the Price Club and they have those the plates of shrimp, not the big platters, but the ones that are like a pound?
Yeah, and they're in a circle.
Exactly.
Right,
like,
yeah.
But almost like a party platter.
And they've got the cocktail sauce in the middle.
Right. Robert loves shrimp.
Oh, good for him.
Right. And Carrie bought a couple of those the other day, and she had eaten a few. So, like, there was two of them. One had, like, maybe 10 or 12 gone.
Uh-huh.
And she left them unattended in the fridge.
Yeah.
And Robert had some and had some more and had some more. And she wasn't really watching him and wasn't paying attention. And he came in later that night and said, "Mommy, don't worry. I took care of the shrimp." And she said, "What does that mean?" He says, "I ate some." And she said, "Okay." She went and looked. He had finished both of them.
Both platters. How many total? Now, these
probably
shrimp
probably about a pound and a half of shrimp.
100 shrimp.
And when he got up the next day, he said, "My tummy hurt."
Oh,
and I
sure.
said, "Was it the shrimp?" He said, "Yeah."
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're just, you know, just eat until they're gone, and then you're done. Then you're done eating for the.
Where do you think he learned that?
We were guesstimating probably because they're not the jumbo size,
right?
Probably between 75 and 100.
Yeah. Yeah,
and they're delicious.
So the numbers, the numbers would be equal, but in the young Robert's case, it was shrimp. In Rob Spiewak's case, it would be turkey legs
or lobsters. If you wanted to keep it in seafood, lobsters.
Small hams. 75 to 100 at a sitting.
But Jesus he's feeling Christ. Much better now.
Cakes. Good. Small birthday cake.
Were we able to get him the right syrup for his pancakes?
Yes, God, yes. And then
what's his syrup of choice for his pancakes?
He just wanted any syrup.
Oh, any syrup. Okay.
And today he was in such a mood when he woke up that I thought sugar was not the best idea.
Yeah, probably.
And Carrie said, "Please get your son some syrup." I said, "Are we sure we want it?" She said, "Get it." And then it was like rocket fuel.
So you didn't have any shrimp to eat last night. What, pray tell, did you enjoy for dinner?
Last night was fish sticks. Thank you.
And Mrs. Paul's?
Winner!
I don't know.
Winner!
Whatever's left.
Winner!
And conservatively, how many fish sticks do you think you ate?
Me?
Yeah.
150.
There you have it.
And that's where it
That's why
back
comedy is this man's life.
What I did is I took my fish sticks, I glued them together, and they attacked Captain Ahab.
You ate an entire fish stick bridge.
I did. A bridge of fish sticks.
You and your boy.
You know, that's what I do love about Costco, though, man. Buying in bulk.
Oh, it's great.
Really. I mean, you can get so much stuff.
Yeah, but that's the problem sometimes.
I know it is the problem. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, you could really, if you ate all your meals, you never went out, you just bought all the stuff at Costco, you'd be so fat because they have so much of everything. And
I buy
so
all my
huge.
Meals at Costco.
What are you
saying?
Delicious.
We got a break. Do you concur, Kong?
Yes, okay.
Yeah, Rob, your eight meatloafs are here.
And we're out of cocktail sauce.
We'll be right back.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
That's right. I'm coming to your corporate headquarters. My plane gets in at 2, and we'll settle this deodorant thing face to face like men. What's your last name again, Phil? All right. I'll see you in 5 hours, Mr. Lacio.
Oh, we're back, and stop. Balls of fire.
Everybody. Ooh, that's what I
want to
be called.
Balls of fire?
A ball of fire.
Ball of fire. Well, here are the rules.
Not balls of fire.
I understand you're playing for somebody today. A couple DJs. Who are you playing for?
Don and Mike.
Don and Mike.
Our friends, Don and Mike.
The Don and Mike Show.
How could we was friends?
The power of Christ compels them. The power of Christ compels them. The power of Christ compels
them.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
As a Titan scientist, it's surprising that Dell blinded me.
I don't think we'd take too kindly to being arrested, mister.
I know.
Get on your horse.
Dude.
Okay, those were tapes of Lisa Remedy, fat ass TV star.
Right.
Former friend of ours.
Former very good friend.
Yep, had a falling out with her, like it so often happens. The basic thing that happened was she was a bitch. And I had to call her on it eventually.
Yeah, at one point, we were all in a studio together for a few days in a row.
That's really when things went bad.
Things kind of crumbled when she didn't play along.
No, the history of Leah Remedy is this, before we start to listen to tapes of her on MTV Cribs.
Oh, good.
That, I don't know, about 8 years ago, 9 years ago, almost 10 years ago, when that show first went on the air, Mike and I were on one of those ridiculous CBS junkets where they send disc jockeys out and you sit in a room and they parade by the stars of the new loser shows.
Right. And some out of the loser shows, you get a couple of big name stars.
Yeah. So, like, we would sit there. I think we sat through 15 bad ones to talk to Dick Van Dyke.
Right.
And some of the people, we just pretended that we were on the air and we had Rob do the interviews.
Because it was so lame that we didn't want to do that.
Now, this was when King of Queens was first coming on the air. And Leah, at the time, had not had the baby and was walking around. She was a piece of ass back then, a really handsome woman, and had an attitude about her. And
a funny attitude.
Yeah, and what really clicked with us and with her was that as she walked by, we didn't immediately, like every other disc jockey in the room, jump up and say, you know, you're a pretty lady.
Right.
Please come tell us about your show. It was like, hey, you know, at that point, we had talked to so many people who wanted to be stars.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we were like, God, you know, she's just another one of the ones that won't make it.
I think it was Dick Van Dyke and Bob Barker were the only people we were excited
those
about.
Those were the heavy hitters.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, she was fascinated by that, by the fact that we didn't come fawning after her. Mm-hmm. And we had a good conversation with her on the air. And then beyond that, we started calling her when we went back to D.C. and she was in California. And
Right. She
got us both speaking roles on King of Queens.
Right. Very exciting to be part of a TV show.
We were equally happy to help promote her TV show. And I know because I would get the call sometimes on Tuesday from her saying the overnight markets that we were in where she was on the show, oh, my God, you know, she did, we did such and such in Tampa, we did such and such
right.
in Baltimore, we did really great in Sacramento and all the metered markets.
And the show was just starting out, and we were, you know, very interested in her success, and the show became a success, and it was just a lot of fun to be there with all that going on.
And there was a time we crawled inside her prostate like we do with all celebrities. I mean,
she let us in. That's why we did that. She let us into her
piece of ass
inner circle. She brought us on the set. You stayed overnight at her house one night. She, you know, we went out to lunch with her. We went out to dinner with her. It was a lot of fun.
And she actually has a prostate.
She does. Now, as I mentioned, all of that, okay? Uh-huh. She'd been on the show lots of times. The company, in a brief moment of synergy, said, you know, it would be a good idea. Because Leah has actually had some traction. When she's been on our stupid little show,
Right. The
ratings for her TV show actually went up.
Sure
That's
did.
Right. They said, you guys have a chemistry with her. How would you like Leah on the show all the time? I said, are you kidding? A TV star on the show every day? Absolutely. You know what this was? What I'd refer to as mistake number one.
Mistake number one.
But for all of us, it was a trip out to L.A., and, well, it wasn't originally going to be a trip out to L.A.
No, she was going to come out to New York. We were going to go to New York. We're going to meet in New York, and we're going to do, like, 2 weeks of shows together in New York. And then she was going to have a microphone put into her home, and we would interact with her every day.
Well,
as it turns out, she didn't like to fly.
Right.
So we all had to go to California,
right.
And the company had to get the studios out there.
Did we go out to California to kick it off?
Yeah, we did.
And
yes,
then she had the microphone in her
right.
studio.
Yeah, so when we were out there with her doing the show, besides... Well, Jesus, at the time we were doing middays, so the show started at 8 o'clock a.m. Los Angeles time. Not the crack of dawn by anyone's estimation.
A very nice time of the morning to be up and about in L.A.
The very first day, do you remember when she came in? And the company had us, much like we're in now. I remember we walked into those Westwood studios out in California.
Yeah.
We said, God.
They put us in an abandoned building out there.
But the studios were great.
Yeah, the studios were very nice.
They were first rate.
But they were abandoned, make no mistake about it. Well, nobody was there when we were there.
They're first rate radio studios. We said, God, this would be really, really great. She showed up, and the first thing she started bitching about was the fact that there wasn't a hot hot Danish for her, or there wasn't there wasn't the right type of coffee.
Here's the deal.
We didn't have it catered.
Right. With radio, we don't do anything. We don't have anything here. We just show up. We do we do what we need to do to get the show done. With TV, they've got a lot of things that are part of the whole TV thing. They've got craft services. They've got the table of food. They've got everything. We have nothing waiting when she arrived.
So we did the first show with her, and it was okay because we were all getting to know each other, and then we were working in the studio together. Right. The second day, I remember specifically, we busted our ass, man. We got up at 6 a.m., went to that, where was that goddamn place we had to go to, Rob, get that food?
Jerry's Deli?
Yeah, she had a specific place.
Her favorite deli.
And Rob and I had to go to, like, at 6:15 in the morning to buy stupid food for her.
Mm-hmm. Fruit and bagels.
Fruit and bagels to buy from the place that she wanted. And it was like, we're driving around going, do you believe, we're in the car at 6:30 in the morning, Rob and I going, do you believe we're out getting Leah Remini's food?
And that was the second day, and I believe that you guys had a bad taste in your mouth from that moment on.
Well, Mike.
But then the biggest mistake she made is when we were doing shtick, and she just clammed
up. One led into the other because, right. Yeah, I had a bad attitude because we went and got all that stuff, and she came in that day.
But you used it for material because said, hey, we went out, we got you all this stuff, and... It started there. As a casual observer, which I really was during some of this stuff, it started to go south at that moment. You could look at her and know, as soon as you came in, and I thought it was hysterically funny, you were bitching about the fact that we had to schlep around and get her food, and you could look at her and know that she just wasn't digging that. And that is the beginning.
She liked being treated like a movie star or a TV star, and I treated her like one of us.
She didn't want that on the air. She didn't want that on the air, and you could tell.
But you're exactly, you know what? Bingo.
Yeah.
She didn't want the fact that we outed her. Right. I outed her. You know, the fact that Robin had to drive around at 6:15 in the morning to go to goddamn Jerry's Deli to get the food that she specifically had to have.
Because she does the passive-aggressive thing, and that's why she didn't want it.
Then it's, as Mike says, the next thing is, now we're doing the show that day.
Right.
And we're doing some segment, I don't know, like My Mother's a Whore or something like this, or I'm a Whore and I want to tell my mother I'm a Whore. It's something we would do on today's show.
And you can say a lot of things to us on the show. You can say, that's not nice. That's not what I believe. But she said one thing that really kind of rubbed us the wrong way.
Well, it was a parade. Mike, she built up to it, but it was a parade
She said, that's not funny.
And it was something that really was funny.
And it was goddamn funny.
And it was what the show was all about. And I guess because, I'll give her this much slack, because she had never actually heard us, we weren't on the internet then. We weren't in Los Angeles, as we are not now. The only real time she heard us on the radio would be if she was in New York to see Letterman, because we were on up there for a while, or if she was in D.C.
While she was talking to you. That was the part of the show.
Or if she was on the show when it all focused around her and her prostate.
Right.
So she heard us talking to people on the phone and saying stuff like, shut up to callers.
Whatever it was.
And at one point, we're doing whatever it was, and we thought it was just killing. And we turned to her, and she hadn't said anything. She's like, and at that point,
it was serious, too. She said, we're laughing. We're like, what's wrong?
Come on, what's wrong?
On the air.
She just goes, guys, this just is not funny.
Oh, God.
There's nothing funny about this. And it's like, I remember looking, I go, honey, this is the goddamn show that we do.
This is what we do.
This is what we do.
And that's where it all started to crumble.
Yeah, and
I don't know how much longer. It lasted a good long time
maybe a month, because we worked out the rest of the week with her.
Right.
She really didn't like the fact that we talked about the fighting on the air.
It was horrible.
Yeah.
It was one of the worst weeks of our lives.
It was awful.
It was such a horrible
It was
week.
Awful, because then it started, like, you know, every day we made sure that we had food and beverages.
Yeah, but everybody was fighting with everybody. It just
I mean, part of it was we were just, like, pushing, like, going over the top, like, making sure that we had the best arrangements. Like, she'd come in and go, good morning, Leah. Real funny. Go, see, we got all your favorite beverages, your food, you got your water, you got your newspaper, anything I can do for you.
Well, and she didn't like being up at that hour either. I mean, she really didn't like it.
Right, at the ungodly hour of 8 a.m. Meanwhile, she signed the contract, you know, and she had the money to do it. Mm-hmm. So we get done with that week. And they say, okay, now we're going to go through all the time and expense to put a microphone in her house. So all she has to do is get up and put on her robe, sit in her kitchen,
and interact with us during the show.
Right.
And here's what it sounded like. Mike, why don't you be you and I'll be Leah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Good morning, Leah. Welcome to the show. We now go out to Los Angeles to the home of Leah Remedy, who's joining us again on the show. How are you this morning, Leah?
Tired, really. What are you guys doing?
We're doing the show. How are you?
Tired.
We know you're tired. Anything new going on in your life, Leah? Anything particularly interesting you want to share with us?
I'm here with another one of my assistants, although I really don't want them called assistants on the air.
Yeah, that's very typical.
That would be about it.
That's kind of the direction it went in.
So it went bad, and then we had to go to the people at CBS to say, we don't think this is really going to work.
They immediately agreed.
And
some of them had been listening.
And they said, okay. And then Leah got real pissed at us because Les Moonves, the guy that ran the TV part and now runs the radio part, mm-hmm. I guess he calls her up and he says, hey, you know, these guys say it's not going to work. So she calls up and she's like pissed out of her mind. Like, well, you get me fired from this thing, although she still got the money for it.
Right.
So no, it just didn't work out. Well, what was it, 2 days later? She had conquered her fear of flying so that she could go to the upfronts in New York.
Yep, right.
And she was close enough. We were working in New York at the time.
Right.
That she could have come in the studio and been on the show. Instead, she went on Howard's show.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And had her publicist call to say, incidentally, Leah won't be coming on your show, but she wants you to know that she'll be on the Howard Stern show tomorrow, which Leah thought...
We perceived, whether accurately or not, we perceived that as her just flexing her muscle and going, hey,
yeah, right.
I don't need you. And that's when we just went, you know, well, then that's fine.
And I wish that I could have said to her, that's fine. We're going to have Patricia Heaton on the show tomorrow. But I didn't have any quivers.
No,
arrows in my quiver.
Right.
So we were...
Howard had a quivers.
We were empty.
Right.
We were out, Jack.
Mm-hmm.
So she went on Howard's show.
Yes.
And, you know, as you know, the world split into two, and that's why we live in different societies now, because it was so earth-shattering.
Right. And one would
dinosaurs
think,
came back.
One would think that would have been it, that really would have been it, but no, that it was not it. There was actually peace made.
Yes, so what we did was, after a lot of off-air calling, we called her up one day on the air and just said, listen, we're really not mad that you went on Howard's show, and whatever happened between us, let's put it all aside. And she said, okay.
Fine.
And then, because the conversation got to her again, she got to that happy place. She was talking about getting married, and she started with the whole... And we were guilty of jumping in the prostate, because right away it was, well, your wedding's going to be in Vegas? Can we come?
Right.
You know, that was our whole thing. Can we come to the wedding? Can we come to the wedding? Well, obviously, we did. We were not invited to the wedding.
But the world was.
She had it taped on VH1.
Yeah.
And
that might be. This is what we describe as the final nail.
So.
You were hurt.
We had the tape.
No, she was hurt when we got done doing the VH1 thing.
We had the tape of her on VH1. And it was so self-promoting, such absolute 100%, I'm a star, I'm a diva, look at me. No, don't look at him, look at me. It was so swimming like me that it merited, I think, two full segments on the show.
Including a segment that involved Leah, where we called her.
We called her up.
And it didn't go well at all.
We thought it was only fair.
Right, because we were giving her a hard time.
Because we had told her that we were friends with her, and we just called her up. We said, we just want you to know we're goofing on you, ragging on you.
During this whole time, our audience...
For the VH1 show.
Anybody that's been with us the whole time, that's listened to the show, knows that during that time, you know, everybody knew that it was hot and cold with Leah, that there were the good moments, the bad moments with Leah. But we couldn't ignore this unbelievably self-serving bit of television that was just offered nothing other than, look at me.
Right.
And we were making fun of it.
So we called her up and we said, hey, listen, you know, because we're friends now, we did this on the radio. We said, we want you to know, we're playing the tapes of VH1, we're goofing on you. Well, her sister...
We knew what was going to happen.
Her sister, who listened somewhere where the show is available, heard it, called back, reported to Leah. The next thing we get the call, Leah never wants to hear from you again.
Right. And she's maintained that.
Leah never wants to hear from you again. You're not friends. You know, blah, blah, blah. We've tried to call her. What, Robbie?
The first thing, remember, we used Billy Bush.
That's right. We used Billy Bush from Entertainment Access Tonight Hollywood Weekly.
I believe he really tried.
Yeah, he did.
Billy's a stand-up guy.
Yeah. He told us that he said, what did he say to her? He said, I got a message from Don and Mike.
Uh-huh.
I got a message from Don and Mike. They'd like to talk to you.
Right.
And he said it got awfully chilly in her bedroom because he was interviewing her in her bedroom.
Not the first. She's constantly in the public eye. She's a very accessible media person.
Uh-huh. Here's the thing that's maybe the worst for you, the home listener, as you've heard this entire thing play out. We were not able to get to what would have been really what I think is the breaking moment in this relationship if we hadn't had the breaking moment prior.
Yeah.
And that would be the birth of young Satan. Because what happened was, once Leah's love canal had been loaded, a thing happened to Leah that happens to all women.
The medical term would be postpartum weight gain.
I call it Big O'Asso syndrome. And I mean, all of a sudden, because the plot of King of Queens was that it was Kevin James, a big fat guy who had Leah Remini, a real hot, a smart ass, but piece of ass wife. Well, the problem is, around the time that she had the baby, she and Kevin James really could have been wearing each other's outfits. I mean, they had her dressed up in sweatshirts a lot.
There are celebrities that are famous for, you know, losing the baby weight rather rapidly, getting back into their playing shape. Yeah. In Leah's case, it did continue into the season.
Before that, she was on the cover of, what, Maxim or Stuff?
She had the baby, she had, you're right, Buzz, it was on Maxim,
right.
And God damn, was she hot.
Phenomenally hot.
People were crazy.
It is incredible. Maxim still uses the picture to promote its magazine.
Right.
And look at her now. Look at her now.
I haven't looked at Leah Remini. I have not seen a picture or seen... I missed the whole fat thing.
Well,
because I just stopped watching The King of Queens, which really...
When they made her fat on the show...
Right.
What they did was they incorporated a little more of the real personality of Leah.
Yeah.
Right. And because... They had to compensate for the fact that on the show, Kevin James could never say, hey, we're in season 5, and how come you're fatter than I am?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So she would, if he would say anything to her about the way she looked, it would always be like, darling, you're beautiful. You're a dumb fat ass.
I think I've seen the show twice and, you know, realized, confirmed that she was indeed big. But she's still promoting herself.
How do you miss the show?
You know,
so
can I be really honest? The entire, and you feel the same way. We were very excited to be part of a sitcom. It was a lot of fun to be out there, see the process, to be involved in that. We'd be sitting on the set. Don and I would be sitting on the set of that show when we did the one time when we were on together, and just going, this is such a suckathon. It's
really?
Just not. Funny.
Really not funny. And
I mean, really, you know, didn't we both feel the same way? You know, wouldn't it have been incredible if we had sucked up to somebody maybe on one of the big shows?
But
it was a big show. It was a successful CBS show.
It is what it is. So that's where we are with Leah, that we've tried to be friends, and she won't let the VH1 thing go.
See, if she had the sense of humor, even with the VH1 thing, to go, hey, quit busting my chops. You know how we would have been shut down with that immediately? Hey, you know, if you guys had your own TV show, you'd probably do the same thing. You guys are media whores. Bam. End of story. That's it. Instead, she chose to not really know who we were and what we were all about and that we were doing a show, and it got ugly, and now she's still doing it, and we still make fun of it.
And now she's on MTV Cribs.
Yeah.
So, let's hear her, please.
I'm Leah Remini from The King of Queens. Welcome to my home. Come in.
And that's how she identifies herself even when she goes out just like to the grocery store.
One of her friends...
Hi, I'm Leah Remini from King of Queens.
One of her friends or maybe a sister or an assistant or something indicated that she is most comfortable when there is a camera around. She likes to be...
And here we are. This is the entry to our home.
And for the record, we do have these flowers here every week. When people stage their stuff, I'm not saying my stuff's not staged, I'm just saying this particular thing is not. There's flowers every week.
And you can really feel the energy.
This is the real deal.
You're getting the real fresh
this
flowers.
This is the real Leah Remini right here. Oh, hold on. I missed one. Hold on. I missed Leah's homies. Excuse me. Leah's
fresh flowers everywhere.
Leah's homies.
Or someone will be fired.
Oh,
this is our pool table slash music room. We don't quite know what to do with it.
All the problems.
People are in my...
We don't know quite what to do with it.
Mm-hmm. What do we do with the room? Fresh flowers everywhere are your fire.
How about you recreate the scene from The Accused?
Oh, God.
Wow. Click.
All the time. I see cribs and people, you know, have their homies. Like, you know, this is the way we roll. But this is my house every day.
She's so down to earth. She's Leah Remini. Down to earth.
And this is not the house you stayed in.
This is her new TV star house.
This is her I Am Syndicated house.
And the other one was a nice house. The other one,
Hollywood Hills,
really, really fancy house.
What am I most proud of in this room are these pictures of my husband's mother and father.
Oh, hold on a second. Hold on. That's a lie. First, there's something about Angelo, the boyfriend. Oh, and we got to mention this, too. It's another reason she's pissed at us.
Right.
She bought her boyfriend, who has a resume about as exciting as Mike and I on IMDb.
Right.
Basically, all the guy's done is ever, he's been on Leah's show a couple of times.
Right.
And he was on the junk that we were on, like Briscoe County and...
He's a poor man's Mark Consuelos.
Absolutely. And that is an insult to Mark Consuelos.
I'm sorry, but it's the truth.
So she bought him a restaurant.
She did.
In California. And it's, what's the name of it?
Vivian's.
And
it's a breakfast place, isn't it?
Mostly. He recommended the Spanish, spinach omelet.
Ah. He is the short order cook. And
manager.
She does not like us talking about the restaurant and her.
Even though we would stay on the show for a long period of time, went in Los Angeles, eat at Vivian's.
Dine at Vivian's. With her husband, Angelo Pagan.
Right.
Pagan, here he is.
We have our instruments, because my husband's Puerto Rican.
Remember, he wanted
my daughter
to
plays that. My husband, Angelo. That was good, honey. That was,
do you like that?
That was around you. Yeah.
Is he on?
He was standing there.
He was lurking.
He was there. And don't forget, he wanted to be a rock star.
He did.
That was his whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
She would take like $10,000, rent him a studio on a Friday night.
Right.
Babaloo.
Babaloo.
Okay, well now about...
Lucy.
Now about the pictures of the in-laws in the living room.
Yes.
What am I most proud of in this room are these pictures of my husband's mother and father.
Really, Leah?
I never met them. They died when Angelo was young, but I'm proud to have them here. This
is
so good. Let's go.
She sounds so sincere, doesn't she?
Let's hear that one again.
And excited.
Because what I like about that one, these are the picture of Angelo's parents. They mean so much to me. I never met them.
Let's go.
What am I most proud of in this room are these pictures of my husband's mother and father.
Okay.
I never met them. They died when Angelo was young, but I'm proud to have them here. This is so good. Let's go.
Let's go.
Move. And she's directing. She's Streisanding right now.
Yeah. How about a bathroom? Baby.
I love the music.
And this is my bathroom. The only time I really took a bath in here was when I was pregnant. A bath always seems like a good idea until a minute, and then I get bored. I want company. But then I want to have sex, and that can't happen. All right, let's go.
Yeah, she's really pouring out that sincerity.
I think you're getting a real picture of the show Cribs also.
Yeah.
Her warmth and excitement are infectious.
Mm-hmm.
I'm stimulated.
Hi, Odelia.
Hi.
Here's my housekeeper.
was leaving me after 8 years because obviously I paid her too much money for her to buy a home outright in Washington State. Thank you, 1 million.
That's the real deal.
Yeah. Here we are.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That's the real her.
Let's hear the beginning of that again.
This is her, and she is busting the balls of her housekeeper, you know, for improving her life.
She's washed my panties for the last 8 years.
I paid her so much money. No, she probably worked for a lot of other rich people, and that's why she was able to.
Hi, Odelia.
Hi.
Here's my housekeeper, who's leaving me after 8 years because obviously I paid her too much money for her to buy a home outright in Washington State. Thank you, Odelia.
Now, wow. I got to stop you right there, because that is the real deal, okay? Mm-hmm. Yes, being funny, but the funniness is really, it's 80% real.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
We spent time with her, okay?
It's the real
she's going to come across as I'm being the tough kind of jokester. No, she's really busting the chops of that housekeeper.
And 20% funny.
This is our bedroom.
Yeah, baby.
This is where our daughter's supposed to sleep. She also has her own room, but she don't sleep in that either.
She don't sleep in that either.
Right. She don't roll that way.
So this is my daughter's bed. And her daddy sleeps on one side. I sleep on the other. And basically we should have a moment of silence because I don't think we've had, you know what I'm saying, since she's been born. This is just a memory now of what used to be between her father and I.
Okay. Wow. She sounds happy, doesn't she?
Always.
Just another afternoon with a star.
Pollyanna.
God, there's a lot. There's
she
a
is
lot
Pollyanna,
of
Pollyanna, Rob.
There's a lot of them.
Wants to see the good in everybody. This is better than I ever. I love the housekeeper. That's pure Leah right there.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Okay, my friend.
I saw this with my wife, and I couldn't stop. It showed her true colors. You walk in, and she goes, these flowers, these are real. These are set up every day. I get them.
Yeah, we heard that. Yeah, we heard that clip.
Yeah.
Hold on. Thank you for the call, my friend. Let's hear one more, and then we got to break to do something else. How about Leah talking about fake lemons?
Very good. Mm.
Fake lemons.
All right, so now we're going to the outside. This is where we sit and hang.
And again, the whole tone. Okay, now we're going to the outside because I'm so put upon that MTV Cribs is here. Okay, come on. Have some in enthusiasm. I mean, like, when I watch it and it's Jay-Z, it's like, yo, I want you to see what I got in this room.
Yeah, proud of
this
it.
This room kicks ass.
Please be cheerful.
So she's walking out to the patio and there's like a big marble vase full of lemons.
Bowl. Okay. A big bowl.
Alright, so now we're going to the outside. This is where we sit and hang. We have these nice pieces here, and of course this is the way it is all the time. Perfect lemons. Are these even real? These ain't even real. You gave me fake lemons, Melinda, up here? How much are lemons? You couldn't get real lemons?
Because they kept dying and they got all nasty looking, so I put the fake ones.
I didn't know they were fake.
Somehow it's not charming, is it?
No, it's not.
Not really. Not so much.
It's kind of what we experienced. At first, we would laugh because you're saying to yourself, oh, she's being funny, and then there's never really a moment of sweetness.
There's a lot more.
If you're going to be like that, it's like, hey, you know, really, you know I'm kidding. And we never got those moments.
Well,
Michael's without the charm.
We've got plenty more. We have not been to her closet, her gym, her pool.
Wow.
We have not heard her discuss her mother and her sister, and we have not heard her hysterical closing. We'll have to get to that in a second.
Very good.
Because we have, anybody that reads any major newspaper, the New York Post, the New York Times, the New York Daily News.
Mr. Geronimo is making fun of Mel Gibson.
You must know that Mel Gibson is in the news.
Right.
And we will have a Mel Gibson expert on.
Oh, very good.
This is another Kong production.
Kong, the eighth wonder of the world!
Now, what exactly is this guy's deal, Kong?
You've met this guy before.
Who is he?
It's Pastor Harry. Remember, he was the one that said the world was going to end on June 6th, 06.
We bet him, and he owes us some kind of bet.
Well, he's coming back because he can prove how Mel Gibson is going to bring Armageddon.
Perfect.
Oh, excellent.
All right, well.
Very timely.
We will see.
All right, and thank you for bringing in the fresh flowers today.
But those lemons are fake.
Yeah,
those are fake. I want you to meet my housekeeper, Rob. He's been with the show for 8 years. He's leaving now. He's got a house in Washington because I pay him so much money.
He bought the house outright.
All right, let's go.
I got no ain't. Wait, these ain't real lemons.
Let's go.
She don't sleep there either.
I have a picture on the wall of John Norman's parents. They passed away. I never got to meet
Let's
him.
Let's go.
He's lost me. Let's go.
Very touching.
We'll be right back.
Number four, Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
He was there. He was by himself. And we were just hanging out, talking, laughing about, you know, past movies and other things that he's working on. There were a number of times where I asked him why he was there alone and
I'll drink to that.
Came before. I don't recall getting a straight answer.
I guess we met him around 1:15, 1:30. So until the bar closed.
When they told us everything that he had said, we were in shock and awe because he was so kind and nice to us. We couldn't see, you know, there'd be two faces to him, basically.
Oh, shock and awe.
The Don and Mike Show.
Shock and awe. Shock and awe with Mel.
Who he?
Well, Gibson, come on.
Don't blame them. Blame the system. The Don and Mike Show.
Right. You know Mel Gibson.
Oh, you sure are a crazy son of a bitch.
You think I'm crazy?
Yeah.
How you calling me crazy? You think I'm crazy? Yeah. Hey, you want to see crazy? I'll show you.
Crazy Mel Gibson.
Oh, freedom!
Okay.
Kukula.
So, he's still in the headlines.
Yes, yeah, man, this story has legs, Don.
It does, and it's signed for Jew to Jew, because that's what we do on this show. Should mention what we're doing on our next... We're not going to call them Las Vegas-style shows.
No.
But it is a ratings party, it is a listener party.
Appreciation party.
Yeah, but a lot of stations, like the Ad Works station does that. You know, it's a listener appreciation party.
Right.
And maybe we could be... Reno-style show or an Atlantic City-style show. I mean, it's not the Las Vegas-style show that it was.
Not Triple X.
Well, it certainly is content-wise.
Yes.
As far as what we say.
Right.
But what we do.
Right.
It's no longer, you know, we don't have to worry about girls taking off their pants on stage.
A Don and Mike unwashed listener reception.
Well, open to whatever. I mean, if you would like to jot down some.
All right.
I mean, think about
now.
It. No.
All right.
Not right. You're funny. Not right now. Not right now. We're going to do this Jew to Jew thing.
Right. But someone's writing one down right now.
Bacteria sharing event. Not exactly.
No.
Not exactly, Clark.
Kong, the eighth wonder of the world!
Okay, all right.
Did you ever hear of Kong?
Yes, I have. So, here is the... Mike is writing one down already. See, that's what I said. Mike, take your time. We got a trip to New York. You got a big weekend coming up. You're going to go to your niece's wedding after we have our big meeting tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations to Bill and Jessica getting married this weekend. There's the name for the...
Mike After Dark.
I like that.
Even though it could be daylight during the summer hours when we do
like
them. We start these things. When we finish... The sun has gone down.
Anyway, we're having another party, and we'll let you know. And we're going to have it in the month of August, which we are in right now, towards the end of the month. Okay, one more, Mike, and then we got to go. We got a Jew to Jew that we're dying to do. Here we go.
That rhymes.
Don't think I didn't know it. I'm a rock and roll poet.
About
the Buzz Burbank Penis Patrol.
Wow.
All right, that's a thought.
Huh?
It's not really what we're patrolling for.
Don't look at me, look at him.
And I'm not talking about weird...
No,
come on, you
know
that,
yeah,
damn it.
I know.
We're saying the people that are showing up to see you.
I know what you mean.
Your thing.
Thank you.
His thing.
His commando thing.
Your commando.
All right, so Mel Gibson.
Oh, yeah, angry, rubbing against denim all day.
And I love the fact that they're showing Mel Gibson now, apparently in whatever footage it is, of an interview that he did where he's got the big, long ZZ Top beard.
beard.
Right. That's the that's really the beard that number one makes him look like Saddam Hussein.
Yeah, it's
and number
crazy
two,
factor,
makes
right?
Makes him look insane. Mm-hmm.
So everybody's heard with it, what he's had to say. They're talking about you know, he might go to jail for this, and a lot of Hollywood people saying they won't work with him anymore.
And the huge news is that the legal team of Mel Gibson now trying to suppress apparently a very explicit video of the arrest. Where it shows Mel Gibson doing all this stuff. So they're trying to make sure that's not released.
Now, we have gone to the expert for this, Pastor Harry,
right,
from satansrapture.com. He says that Mel Gibson's drunk anti-Semitic comments could be used by terrorists in the Mideast to start World War III.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's said a lot of things, hasn't he?
He sure has.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why... why don't you get him on the line?
Okay. You may be right.
And we're ready for an episode of Jew to Jew. Hey, did you find that Michael Hoffman tape?
Yeah, they're both in one and two.
Oh, I see. Hold on. Let me just see.
This is Michael Hoffman, and you're listening to Jew to Jew.
There you go. Because as you know, I am, am I the doctor or the attorney? Oh, I'm the attorney.
You're Dr. Donald Goldstein.
That's right. I'm the Dodger, and you're Michael Goodman, attorney at law.
Yes, you're Dr. Donald Goldstein, and I'm Michael Goodman, attorney at law.
Here we go.
We always forget.
Hang on.
Kong, the eighth wonder of the world!
All right, buzz this. As soon as you hear Michael Hoffman, we're ready for you.
This is Michael Hoffman, and you're listening to Jew to Jew.
Live from the Westwood One Radio Network, it's Jew to Jew with your host, Dr. Donald Goldstein, and Michael Goodman, attorney at law. Now, welcome to Jew to Jew.
Oy vey. Is it hot enough for you?
Good afternoon.
If you're out of the hot weather, good for you.
We urge all of you to stay comfortable as you possibly can. And well, there's a hot controversy that I'm sure most people that enjoy this program are very keenly aware of.
It's the Don and Mike Show, also known as, irreverently, I might add, Jew to Jew. I'm Dr. Donald Goldstein.
And I'm Michael Goodman, attorney at law. And thanks for listening on Rockville Pike. We're very happy to be with you today.
I want to say hello to everyone at Bakel City. They're listening. They're enjoying. And I'll tell you, I was getting the pulse. I was down there having my corned beef and... It's New York corned beef. It's fantastic at Bagel City.
Well, that's very nice that you're giving them that plug. I think that's wonderful.
It's a small deal that there was a broken limb recently in the restaurant, and I fortunately was there.
Were you able to repair it on the spot?
As you know, even though I am by trade a plastic surgeon and a rather gifted one.
You are skilled. You're very skilled in the areas of plastic surgery, and I commend you for that.
My website is hugenippleman.com. I primarily do breast augmentations.
And you do a marvelous job. I've always said to any of my female friends or clients, that are caring to enhance their bosom, that you are so natural the way the finished product comes out. And I tip my hat.
And I want to thank you for defending me in the cases that I've had with the implants that have bursted. The one woman who said...
that have bursted? That have burst, you mean?
They burst.
Of course.
What did I say? Bursted?
Bursted.
They bursted.
They bursted.
And...
Because most of you, jobs are most of the augmentations I've seen are flat out.
These women sued me, and I went to my good friend Mike Goodman, Michael Goodman, attorney at law.
Yes, and I was able to fortunately get all the parties together, and it resulted in we won't disclose the details as that is against the oath. But I'm very pleased that you're continuing to make women feel better about their body.
Oh, but about Bagel City.
Yeah.
And this leads to the guest. I was in there, and there was an unfortunate accident with a young Korean delivery boy, and I was able to, I believe, save a finger. And what I've done now is worked up a level of... I don't want to say that I'm bartering.
No, I understand. But they're grateful for your services rendered.
I fixed the young man. Last name was, I believe, Lee. Aren't they all? I fixed his finger. He was a delivery boy. And now
I know who you're talking about. I've gotten the delivery ship. Bobby.
Bobby Lee, yes.
Bobby Lee.
Yes, he's a nice man.
He's very, very nice.
Very nice man. I go in now. I get my bagel, my coffee, and it's gratis.
And I'm sure that once Mr. Lee is in a state of complete a recovery, if he doesn't get any worse, he will deliver your bagels to you.
I was there talking to them today. What a cooler talk.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone in Bagel City was talking about Mel Gibson.
It's what I would describe, without question, as a firestorm of controversy surrounding these horrible comments ushered in by Mel Gibson.
So I said to Rob Stein, our producer, mm-hmm. I said, is it possible that you can find us a Mel Gibson expert who will look at things the way we look at things, from the Jewish perspective?
Before we do that, I just wanted to make sure you were mentioning me last week on the broadcast when we had the wonderful show, that you were looking for employment. Are you still looking for a noise? Or have you filled the position?
I'm looking for a nice noise.
Okay. I hope you can.
It could be voice.
We both were so hard, we're going to end up someday in a hoist.
The voice. Let's talk to a man. I don't know, be he Jew or be he Gentile.
Well, I would assume he's a Gentile because...
I understand. We've had him on... Rob, have we had him on before?
We've had him as a...
Rob, he's
before.
An evangelical or something like that. Is that what he does?
Yes, he is.
What's that, like Catholic light? What is that?
He's a man of God.
A man of God.
Well, they come in all shapes and sizes.
Welcome to the Don and Mike Show, Jew to Jew. Pastor Harry.
Hello, and thank you for having me on.
Thank you for being on, and shalom.
Shalom. Pastor Harry, you've mentioned several things that are quite stunning in these statements that I'm reading about World War III and Mel Gibson, and a lot of them, I must admit to you, are quite confusing.
Can you, for instance, explain to us, first off, if you don't mind me asking, are you Jewish? You can be on the show and not be Jewish, but we'd like to know, are you Jewish?
No, I am not Jewish.
I'm sorry for you.
Well, but I'm also not Catholic or Protestant or evangelical, and I don't believe in anything of Christianity, what they teach today. I believe in the truth of the gospel that's been lost by corruption.
Pastor Harry, may I ask you a question? Do you indeed believe that Mel Gibson is going to be responsible for starting World War III?
I think Mel Gibson is responsible because he's helping to create an atmosphere of America turning against Israel.
I would kill right now for an egg cream. Excuse me. I'm sorry. This is Dr. Goldstein speaking. I would kill for an egg cream right now.
It's a shame that Bobby Lee, your Korean individual that you repaired, does
his
not
finger.
Deliver egg creams.
Tell me something, Pastor Harry.
I would love a nice ice cold cream soda.
How is Mel going to start World War III?
Well, as I said, he's going...
And will it be an expensive war?
Yes, it'll be a very expensive war because...
I want to tell you something. I think we're spending way too much on the war in Iraq right now. I mean...
Pastor Harry, I've...
For goodness sakes,
I've sat in a lot of courtrooms where I've observed...
I've been to a filings sale, and I want to tell you that, you know, I don't care if we have to outfit all of our paratroopers in those bridal gowns. What you want to do is go on... They have one day. Now, I don't know how this store does this.
Right.
They open the doors, and they sell these beautiful gowns.
Yes.
And they sell them for like $70 each.
Are you suggesting that, I don't understand, are you suggesting that the military is to go to some sort of department store? It's not the same thing. They're drafted, and it's part of the government.
Are you interested in Mel Gibson? Or?
Very we're elaborate.
We're trying to, trying to save money.
I don't understand why you
trying
have to
make save
that
money for one war that we're in right now before we get into the next war that Mel Gibson is starting.
Haven't I told you?
Well, there's going to be a massive war because President Bush has to stop Iran from developing a nuclear weapon. Today, Iran made another threat against Israel.
Pastor Harry,
yes.
I beg to interrupt for just one moment. May I ask you a question?
Sure.
I've sat in a lot of courtrooms, listened to a lot of testimony, and my question to you, sir, would be, at any time in your life, have you been treated for anything psychologically?
Psychologically?
Yes.
No.
How about physically, sir? As a doctor, may I ask you that?
Good question.
Have you ever had a head injury of any type?
Well, I've had a lot of injuries, but never a head injury.
What is the most demanding injury you've had? Perhaps I can help you. As you may have heard, I'm an accredited surgeon. Again, it's bighotnipple.com. That's my website.
Well, I don't need breast augmentation, thank you.
I'm the best.
I'm sure you are.
Maybe a mother or sister, you know.
It just sounds to me like you're angry, and perhaps you have some psychological issues.
Well, I don't like people that want to destroy Israel. I don't like
Nor do we.
Nor do we.
Of course, we say that loudly.
The Israelites.
You know, the radical Muslim agenda is to wipe Israel off the earth, and I truly stand behind Israel. A lot of the evangelicals...
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Once again, Pastor Harry.
Yes.
How does Mel Gibson figure into this? He's a movie actor.
He's more than a movie actor. He's a very famous person, and his hatred, his neo-Nazi doctrine that he was espousing in a drunken rage will become more and more accepted as the price of gas goes up.
Here's what I would really like to ask.
Yes.
Who's the great Jewish movie star of our generation?
That's good. That's it. Is this a question that you have the answer to? Are we playing quiz show again?
I believe I have the answer, and I believe it's a sad, sad answer, at least for me, and what I consider to be a morally correct.
Well, we might disagree. I'd love to hear your answer.
Well, I would have to say, while we're talking about this, Adam Sandler, I believe, is the number one Jewish movie star in America.
You're so completely wrong.
I wish Adam Sandler would come out and do he does this thing. Pastor Harry, have you heard of Adam Sandler?
Sure.
He's a famous Jew. And he comes out and he says, "Hey, I'm the water boy. I talk like I'm retarded, and I love my mother."
You consider him to be the finest working Jewish actor of our time?
Excuse the word retarded. They use it in the movie. The children laugh at it. All I know is that the movie Click, the last time I checked, did $138.7 million at the box office, friend.
That's not the craft, though. I think you still have to go with Jeff Goldblum. If you're going to go, you really do.
Yesterday's News.
Oh, no.
Yesterday's News.
Well, then perhaps we could have some other options. I still like William Shatner and Leonard Nimoy. I really do.
You know what they are?
Their work stands alone.
You know they're CJs.
How come they're closet
Jews.
Why don't these actors you're mentioning, how come they don't speak out against Mel Gibson?
Well, I think you're going to get a lot of people speaking out against Mel Gibson, but
I think that Adam Sandler is the most gifted Jewish actor of our generation.
Well, I hope he speaks out against Mel Gibson.
Except I hope he doesn't use that baby talk voice.
I'm very concerned with your anger issues, Pastor Harry. I think you're an angry man.
Oh, I'm not an angry person, but I'm angry. My anger goes where it belongs. I mean, you know, when terrorists want to wipe out Israel and annihilate Israel...
I'll tell you a great...
Will you be boycotting the Mel Gibson movies?
I won't see anything Mel Gibson made.
Do you know that the movie Armageddon was, in fact, produced by one of my favorite Jewish Hollywood players, Jerry Bruckheimer.
I'll give you your due, and he's responsible for such quality television.
Right.
He really is.
He's the man who gave us the movie. It was about a giant rock falling from space.
Oh, I thought it's marvelous. It was just marvelous with the special effects that they used.
Armageddon.
Armageddon was just so well done.
But I really don't believe that Mel's going to start a World War III, Pastor Harry.
No, I didn't say he's going to start World War III. I said he's going to help to foster the rise of anti-Semitism in America that will lead to the start of World War III.
Well, I think his comments were abysmal. We all know that. But, Pastor Harry, don't you believe that he is you're giving him a little bit too much credit?
No, I don't. Not when the media replaces statements every 20 minutes of the day.
I wish we had more time. Our next topic, can you make it a kosher Labor Day? This is the question. Can you make it a kosher Labor Day?
And we will offer some very nice tips to make your barbecue something extremely special that everyone can enjoy.
We want to thank Pastor Harry for coming on to discuss the Mel Gibson controversy.
Thank you so much,
Pastor Harry.
Shalom. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. And if you want to read more on our site, it's www.satansrapture.com.
And again, I hate to promote my own site, but I will. Dr. Donald Goldstein, it's bighotharrynipple.com.
And, of course, I am Michael Goodman, attorney at law. No website for me just yet.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Harry.
You're welcome. Bye.
Shalom.
Please hold for our producer. Incidentally, are we paying him a fee to be on the show?
Oh, I applaud that. That's good.
That's,
the answer was negatory. Remember, it's radio. You can say no out loud. He gave us the okay sign.
Thank you. So, when we come back, we'll be talking about... Oh, he hung up.
Oh, he's hung up.
Okay, I will call him back.
Angry Pastor Harry.
Must
call
find out how he thinks it went.
And that, of course, is the strategy on Chew to Chew, to not get him a word in edgewise.
Right.
Kooky Pastor Harry.
Huh?
Kooky World War III Pastor Harry.
Thank you. And I do think, as far as Jewish actors, well, hold on. You got Dustin Hoffman, now they're coming. Now, although, who's the hottest right now? I mean, who's... Ben Stiller?
Ben
Stiller's a hot Jewish actor.
I'm trying to think. I'm trying desperately to think. I'm trying to think like Mel Gibson. He would know all of them.
Yes.
Probably his last
sign.
Did you enjoy yourself? How do you think it went? Oh, it went better than okay on our end. We thought it was great.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
He's obviously giving Rob
they're
Stein
not,
an
well,
earful.
They're not serious by nature.
I think
they
he likes
their
the
radio
talk.
Show, I think, to sort of let their hair down. But we appreciate your time very much and your valid viewpoint. Have a grand day. Shalom.
Hey, Robbie didn't sound exactly pleased.
He sounds like he always sounds.
Angry at the world.
Yeah, exactly.
How can you tell? Pastor Harry.
Just another opportunity for him to say the world's going to blow up.
Pastor Harry, everybody. Oh, you know what? Cancel that. We got to do this. When we come back, among other things,
yes?
Did anybody besides me, why am I saying this? No. Nobody else besides me would have watched The View.
No. But you know, you used to say that you'd play that little sound effect for yourself.
He's a fag.
So I'm watching The View.
Homo. And really,
homo.
Thank God I've got the TiVo
homo.
Machine. Because the setup is this. I don't know what it is they're discussing, but Hasselbeck, the young one.
Elizabeth Hasselbeck.
I did see that.
She, oh, you saw it?
He's a fag.
I saw the clip on the internet.
Homo.
What's going, Buzz?
I've got more than the clip. I've got the entire segments of... Hasselbeck gets a little excited, and Barbara Walters puts her in her place. What happens is Hasselbeck gets so pissed off that she rips up her little like liner cards that have topics and sits there like a little bitch like, well, if you're not going to let me say what I'm going to say, I'm just not going to say anything for the rest of the show.
Hallelujah.
So these
another
are, these,
cat fight.
These are some pretty good some pretty good tapes.
I knew this would happen once they lost the stabilizing influence on that show.
Star Jones.
Right.
Star Jones.
What, Robbie?
Star Jones Reynolds.
Glad we got that. Right. That's very important.
The rap.
Kong, the eighth wonder of the world!
Yeah, good job with Harry. How long have you been chasing him? Are you going to put that on your resume?
Yeah. Did you ever hear of Kong?
Ah, just another great find from the cuckoo's nest.
We'll be right back.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
He's going to have to live with this boner for a long time.
Hey, you guys had shirts on when you came in here.
There's something happened to him, man.
Come on, Spicoli. Just put the shirts back on.
Come on, Spicoli.
You see that sign?
Uh-huh.
No shirt, no shoes, no ties. Right. Learn it. Know it.
Live it.
The Don and Mike Show.
He's going to have to live with this boner for a long time.
Masters of the Thailand tongue bath, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
He's going to have to live with this boner for a long time.
Tell me about it, Sonny. Hey, just in case you're just tuning in, first off, bad listener.
Yes.
What a boner you pulled.
Yeah, where the hell have you
been?
Live
with this boner for a long time.
All right, changing on for 2 hours. We won't be here tomorrow. No need to fear. We're not fired.
Right.
We're not dead. We are just back to New York.
Yeah.
For more good stuff with the fat guys with the suits.
All good.
So we'll be back on Monday with a new episode. A very quick update on the a-hole golf guy.
Oh, your former neighbor. Distant neighbor.
Yeah. So the guy called yesterday and left three messages during the show, which I transcribed and read, right, since he didn't want his voice on the radio.
Right.
And last night, in the middle of me being sick, my girlfriend was on the phone earlier talking about that, avoiding calls. She said, oh, it's from area code. What, the guy's got one of those weird, not in this area, area codes.
Right.
So I said, yeah, I'll talk to him. So I took the call.
And, even though you were in pain, you talked to him.
Yeah, well, because I did a lot of talking about his family yesterday on the show.
Right.
And
I thought it was all innocent.
And I did a lot of talking about, well, the messages he left me on my machine. And he called and said he's cool with everything.
Well, good.
And that basically what he said was that I don't like him and that he doesn't like me.
Uh-huh.
And we'll be playing golf on Saturday afternoon.
Perfect.
Together.
Oh, you're going out in the afternoon.
Yes, we are.
Good afternoon.
Yes, we are. So go friggin' figure.
Enjoy.
Okay, so that's the story with that guy. I'll let you know what happens. Now, this thing about Hasselbeck. Oh, and Yanni tells me they were getting a lot of emails with people saying, please don't forget about the Leah tapes. We won't.
Yeah, we won't.
We've got them. We may get back to them in this break. But this is even better. So Elizabeth Hasselbeck, who's married to the not-good Hasselbeck.
The second-tier quarterback.
Right, the guy who probably will get cut by your Giants this year, as a matter of fact.
Right. Isn't he the third stringer for the Giants?
Yeah, they just got some other fancy guy that... Right.
A pretty lad?
That's what sports radio talk for you, isn't it? I just got some fancy guy, and I don't think Tim Hasselbeck has a chance of keeping the job.
He's fancier than the ketchup. Mm-hmm.
So she's famous because she was on Survivor.
Right.
Either the first Survivor or the second one, back when it was good.
I never really understood how she got the gig. I mean, other than being a Survivor. But she, you know, she can handle herself.
She got the gig on The View because the Japanese doll, Lisa Ling, she quit. So they wanted to have a contest, and Elizabeth Hasselbeck won the contest.
Right.
So she pretty much on The View, and go ahead, say it.
He's a fag.
Yeah, I was going to tell you, I'm not up on my View history.
I watched The View. I was a big fan of Meredith Vieira.
Right, yes.
And I like it even better now, because it's a train wreck since they fired Star Jones, got fired from The View. Because they are so without anybody. Rosie O'Donnell.
He's a fag.
Doesn't start until September. They don't have Meredith Vieira anymore.
Right.
And really, they are just bringing in nobodies like Shannon Doherty.
Right.
Kelly Pickler is one of the co-hosts.
Right.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Because they don't have anybody.
On this clip, the fourth wheel is Lisa Lowe.
Yeah.
Who had a hit record, what, like 10 years ago?
Remember, she's the chick with the big glasses.
So, yeah. They had a super hot Asian chick on there the other day. I don't know what her name was. But
hold on. You were watching The View?
I was.
He's a fag.
Damn it, I got out.
Homo.
You've been caught.
Damn it. So anyway, Elizabeth Hasselbeck, basically her job on this show is just to sit there and be a good, hot, wholesome girl.
Mm-hmm. But
and
she does have her say. I've seen it enough to know that she gets to give her two cents a lot.
She does, but the other cows shut her right down.
Okay.
They really do. Especially Joy Behar.
Right.
How you doing, Joy? There you go.
She's hot.
So
I like Behar.
So they're talking about, they call it Hot Topics.
Yes.
Okay. And they were discussing the morning after pill. I'm sure everybody's seen the story. You get it over the counter.
Now, can I just interrupt you there for a second? Isn't Elizabeth Hasselbeck, isn't she kind of right of center a little
Mike,
bit? A little
is,
born again? And
yes. All her conservative would be right. An insult to conservatives.
Okay, all right.
She's right of me.
A lot of the times when she argues with Cal Behar,
sure.
It's normally because Cal Behar says something like, well, George Bush got us into this stupid war. And then she starts with George Bush is a great American and we need prayer in our schools.
Okay, gotcha. So that's what I thought. Okay.
So they're having a discussion about the pills. And Elizabeth Hasselbeck starts to go off on a rant about how she disagrees with this.
Okay.
Shocker. Mm-hmm. She disagrees. She doesn't think you should be able to go into a store and just buy the morning after pill.
Right.
Lisa Loeb, the girl who had one hit record, she's standing there, she's sitting there, and she says, this is pretty extreme. And then at this point, Elizabeth Hasselbeck really goes out of control, and then Barbara Walters stands up and says, Elizabeth, calm down.
Whoa.
Like, stood up? I'm paraphrasing this.
But she stood up.
Yeah.
She told her to stop waving her arms.
Oh, we have the tape. Yeah, I got the tape.
Oh, okay,
I got
right.
The first segment and the second segment. Here we go.
These kinds of issues arouse the strongest emotions.
My heart is, like, almost out of my chest right now. That's how strongly. I feel very strongly about this. And I don't think I'm alone. I think a lot of people feel this way. I feel as though, and I believe that life begins at the moment of conception and when that egg is fertilized. To me, it's the same thing as birthing a baby and leaving it on the street.
Oh, I think that is so extreme. I do believe that a lot of people feel the way you do too.
Mm-hmm. Let us say it is somebody who is raped by a sex pervert. Let us say that it's a young woman who is raped.
Wait,
that's but it's also old lady speak too.
Let us say by a sex pervert.
That is so old lady speak. She betrays her age, blah blah.
What if you were raped by a sex pervert?
I hate them.
Time machine.
By her father. And your life may be totally ruined. Mm-hmm. And in 72 hours, you can prevent it. You see no circumstances at all.
I wish that this were created just for special circumstances. There are a lot of areas of gray in between the yay and the nay on this subject.
It's either a baby or it's not.
I'm saying in relationship to that argument, okay? In relation to that argument.
Yeah.
Under those circumstances of extremity where maybe rape or maybe incest, does that life then not have value?
Well, that's the question.
That's the debate. I believe that life still does
Listen
have value.
Now. Hold on. Where's Barbara Walters yelling at her? Here we go.
That's my personal
opinion. So you would say that a girl like 12 years old who just started menstruating, who's been raped by her father or her uncle, should proceed to term because that's a life.
I'm saying listen to me. I'm saying there is value in that life. I'm saying this medication should be reserved only for those special situations.
Why?
This is
why.
This is going
that's
to be
a loophole in your argument.
I'm saying this. I wish that it were available. I'm just saying I don't believe it's the right thing, but this is a slippery slope to just eliminating life. And you know what? For people who want the government to stay out of their business and do what the heck you want with your body and stick to them up, then why are you for universal health care? You want that same government?
Elizabeth, calm down.
I can't. This is not
everybody has strong opinions. And there are many other arguments that other people could give you. I think the most important thing, which is what we see today, is we've got to be able to have these discussions and listen to other people's opinions and not go so crazy that you don't listen to anybody.
I heard everything you said. I just am emphatic.
I barely started.
Well,
and it's not just my opinion. I don't give on subjects
like
this.
Well, I was also speaking. I wasn't the only one here speaking.
On other opinions, there are many other opinions, and we will be discussing this. I very rarely give my own opinion and did not today. I was saying what another argument.
Mm-hmm.
All I am saying is we have to have a way of discussing this without exploding. Because people have to understand each other.
She's
we started
best.
Talking
yeah.
about anti-Semitic
yeah.
remarks and inflammatory, and there has to be a way of discussing this
yeah.
without... Okay,
could
we stop now?
Sure,
we all have passion, but we have to go on, and we have to learn how to discuss these things in some sort of rational way.
You know what?
Yeah.
She was just handled.
No.
Elizabeth Hasselbeck was just handled
yeah, you gotta
by the
know.
Grand Dam
yep.
right there.
I don't have the tape because it's visual. I can't explain it to you. As they go to break there, when Barbara Walters stands up and says, "That's enough," and she just calms everybody, like, shut up on this topic.
Right. Yeah.
Elizabeth Hasselbeck is sitting there, and she has her little topic cards in front of her, and she starts doing this.
Wow.
And it's quite obvious that she's sitting there like this. She's crying.
She's crying. Very upset.
Like trying to keep it together. And so they come on for the final segment.
Oh, this is great.
And Barbara Walters says, "Okay, we've had a good show. Enjoy the view."
Right.
Elizabeth Hasselbeck, I am not kidding, is sitting in her lap, and Barbara Walters is stroking her head. The way you would stroke a child's head.
She's literally sitting in her lap.
Yes, and the last thing that Elizabeth Hasselbeck says, and it is not audible, but you can read her lips. She says, "I love you guys." Like,
wow.
Please don't. fire me. Please don't fire me.
That show is a train wreck. Here's the deal. I don't agree with Elizabeth Hasselbeck's point of view, but I do agree that I think they were both yelling at each other. And Barbara probably had a differing point of view, and she just handled Elizabeth Hasselbeck.
Didn't you get the feeling that you get, like, if you're watching a parent discipline an 8-year-old,
and the 8-year-old
it's really awkward?
Yeah, and the 8-year-old might just have a little leg to stand on because she wasn't the only one arguing.
Exactly.
And she was the one who was being told to shut up.
Then when pervert sex addict...
I don't even remember what she said.
What about someone who was raped by a sex pervert?
When she stands up with those Popeye legs of hers, it's like, Elizabeth, calm down.
Elizabeth, calm down.
Calm down.
Oh, that is... That's you know... Maybe you've made a convert permanently. I mean,
pretty good.
You know, here we are playing the fag sound effects. Wow. Anything,
pretty good tape.
Anything can happen.
Pretty good tape. Mike, I found this today on some site. Maria Osmond is in the hospital.
Oh, no.
She had a bad reaction to prescription drugs.
Do we know the prescription drugs?
No, but her reps say it was not a suicide attempt.
I hope, dear. Which tells me...
Robbie.
When they're in the non-denial.
You got it for me, friend?
Oh, dear.
I'm going to pull something out now.
The non-denial.
I want you to know, Marie. Okay, so that basketball player slept around on you. And okay, you've had bad plastic surgery. But think about your porcelain dolls that you sell on QVC.
Yes.
And think about the boys like me, exploring my body, watching the Donnie and Marie show. How dare you, Marie Osmond, think about taking a dangerous antidepressant drug, and mixing it with, hold on, Rod found out. Here we go. Heard of these? It was Clonopin, which is an anti-anxiety med, and the ADD drug Adderall.
Jeez, is that a dangerous cocktail?
Well, apparently she went into a coma.
I'd say yes, then. Pretty dangerous. And also, you didn't mention a fifth of vodka. No, I'm kidding, of course.
No, lots of pills. They had to pump her stomach and everything. But they're going out of their way to say, not a suicide attempt.
Where's Donnie during all this?
Not a suicide
attempt. And I'm not talking about Donnie Osmond. I'm talking about you.
Yeah.
Gonna get out of Utah.
Why are you at that bedside?
And what's the last thing that I wanted to mention? Oh, I know, at that, Rob told me today, at that wax museum in Vegas,
right.
The famous one, Madame Tussaud.
It's spelled that way.
I'm sure if you're listening to us on Spike Radio or whatever they call it, our station in Vegas, this is old news to you, but it's
not the Venetian.
It's new news to me. Jenna Jameson has gone in to this world famous wax museum.
Really?
Now, I don't think she's going in like sucking or being effed. I think it's just. And is she naked or does she have clothes on?
As it's described, she's naked, but she's posed in such a way that you can't see anything.
Tastefully covered.
So only in Vegas.
Madame Tussaud.
Madame Tussaud.
Tussaud.
Madame Tussaud.
Tussaud.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello. Hello.
Hey, guys. I watched that clip of the View, and I wondered if Elizabeth had a boob job.
No, you know what happened? The teat fairy came to visit her when she had a baby.
Well, they look good.
Kind of an expert on that. Me
when
too.
She gets really, really emotional, do they look even better?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They start to swell.
But then I hope that she gets upset again.
They are swell.
I hope they don't get bursted.
Did you get a better look at him when she got upset or when she was sitting on Barbara's lap?
Yes.
Because really, you know, I sound like a sex pervert.
Yeah.
You do.
That's terrible.
What if you were raped by a sex pervert?
A sex pervert. Sit down, old lady.
Hold on. One more call. A Marie Osmond. It says, Joe has put on the screen, a Marie Osmond. What do you call it? An apologist for Marie Osmond? Hello?
Hello. Yes. Radio gods.
Mark.
Yes. The two medications that she is taking were actually prescribed together when you first start taking them to offset the effects of Adderall.
So does that mean there were three drugs involved?
Pardon me?
Well, now, we thought it was Adderall, which is an ADD drug.
Right.
And something that was an anti-anxiety drug.
Right. But when you start taking Adderall, they'll very often give you Klonopin to keep you kind of regulated. And
then why did she go into a coma?
Apparently something didn't work right in the cocktail, or there was something else there.
How about this? Apparently she took like a whole bottle of each of them.
Well, if you took a whole bottle of Adderall, you'd be bouncing off the walls like nobody's business. The Klonopin, that'll put you in a coma.
Okay, so she took the Klonopin.
You know, even an upper can kill you, sir, even if you take a lot of it.
What? I fixed a lawnmower one time by fixing the Klonopin.
The Klonopin.
Hey, bro. Yeah, it's nice. It's like a bobby pin is really what it was like. Yeah.
What is the jingle for Klondike?
What would you do for a Klondike bar?
What would you do for a Klonopin?
That's all I'm saying. Drink the whole bottle. Hello, last call, Don and Mike Show.
I just calling to see if when you guys are up in New York, if you're going to be talking about the new reverb that you have that makes you sound like Jack Diamond.
Why don't you just hang up?
Are you still there?
Now he's hung up.
He hung up.
I didn't hear the last part of that. I think what he was saying was how much he enjoys the new sound of Don and Mike.
Exactly. That's what I got. I also think that, let me see, Yanni, where is Yanni?
I'm right here.
There you go. I can't figure out what happened here. Oh, I got it. The sound effect. Hold on. Here it is. There it is. Why don't we just put him on the do not call list?
Okay. Oh, that's right. We get to hit the button.
That's right.
Even though he was so nice.
Big man. Yeah. Big man.
Hey, big man.
Big man. Yeah, all you guys that like bitching about the small nuances that have changed on the show, as I said back in April, check back with me in October and check back with me in January when the spring, summer, fall ratings are completed.
Very good.
Check back. Okay. I know what the frig I'm doing here.
You got that, fat ass?
Okay. And if you're going to call, for God's sakes, don't be a pussy. Don't be a hit-and-run caller. Stay on the line. Fight it out.
Yeah, don't act like some sex pervert.
Don't cut and run.
That's right.
Now sit on my lap, everybody.
Calm down.
Or we'll have to have your father rape you.
Oh, God. Sex pervert.
Well, that's what Elizabeth Hasselbeck said.
You're right. And then she teared her card.
She teared her card up.
Oh, she teared it up. Look, she goes.
She teared it up good.
It bursted good.
Yeah. That's boisted.
Oh, last thing. How could I have forgotten this? Because it's going to set up what we're going to talk about next. This, to me, is just friggin' ridiculous. As you know, temperatures in California have been triple-digit longer than they have here on the East Coast.
Right.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, as you know, is the governor of California. Tony Blair, who is the president of Britain, is meeting with Arnold Schwarzenegger to discuss global warming.
Hallelujah.
That is great.
The world is a safer place.
Really, what are you thinking, Tony Blair? I mean, I know you got your head up Bush's, rear end, but really, you're going to talk to Arnold about saving energy and about global warming?
That's right. I hear he's a big fan of Arnold's.
Well, Mike, as it turns out, let me just say, we'll find out when we come right back.
Oh, that's exciting.
Okay?
Good. Are we going to go right to the podium?
Yes, we will.
Where they're giving the joint statement.
That's right. Two guys, two microphones, waiting.
Two men, both naked.
Be right back.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
I have a son that is dying for playing with his father. He's dying to have the latest of the toys. And he's talking about this Turbo Man doll. And I play one of those fathers and husband that is too busy.
He's mentally retarded.
What they can expect from Jingle All the Way is a hilarious movie, a movie where they will be able to laugh from the beginning to the end. It will be great entertainment. They will walk out of the theater and say, I am so angry that I can't get another ticket right away because I want to see it a second time. And there's a long line here.
Don and Mike Show.
He's mentally retarded.
I'll drink to that.
I'm on my second beer.
Wow.
Do we really need that?
They want to fight for ye. Don and Mike.
All right, the story as we were talking about before the break is this. Long Beach, California. Britain and California have formed a transatlantic partnership to to address global warming, bypassing the Bush administration to explore ways to curb greenhouse gas. As you know, we're heard every day in Sacramento on the mighty KHTK, where we are number one rated as always. Thank you for 10 years of excellence in Sacramento.
Right.
Which means we have a very special line to open up, and all I got to do is press one of these buttons, and someone should be joining us from the state capitol in Sacramento.
Hi. Don,
hey.
Don, are you there? It's honest.
Hold on.
This microphone is working very badly.
Let me get your music out, Arnold.
Can you hear me?
Yes,
hello. Over there. How are things in the nation's capital?
Arnold, let me see.
We can't have greenhouse gases.
Let me see if I can find your...
Very bad.
I got the music. Here it is. Ladies and gentlemen.
Don't you shine.
The governor of the state of California.
That's great. Great to be back with
Arnold
you.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
How are you? So, you're on the team. You're going to join with me and make sure that the world knows that we can't have greenhouse gases, because that'll cause all the people to stop with the global warming and things.
And
the thing is that the global warming's the greatest problem that we face.
Arnold? What is global warming?
The global warming is when you have lots of cars that are driving on the streets, like I used to drive a Hummer, right? And the Hummer would give out the exhaust, which would go into the air, and then the air would be cause a blanket of foam to form over the Earth's surface.
Hey, Arnold?
So that we can't have greenhouse gases.
Arnold?
It's bad. I vow to terminate. I will terminate greenhouse gases.
Have you been watching America's Got Talent?
Oh, that's so funny. Regis really is great. I'm a giant fan, like most people in the area that I come from, of David Hasselhoff. He's very good. He stays the greenhouse gas, his thick green gas, that he sneaked good.
Oh, that means no
that's
good.
You have to understand all the greenhouse gases aren't going to do any good for the world.
What
we will do is pollute our planet, and then our planet will fall out of the solar system into the sea.
I understand that we're going to have a real treat. Is Tony Blair in the room with you?
You'll have to bear with us, because we're going to have to share a microphone. Wow. But Tony! Come right over here.
No, hold on.
Yeah, Don, he's standing by. I'm going to put the microphone in front of him.
Welcome the president of the UK.
You can actually ask him any questions you have.
Prime Minister Tony Blair. Hello, sir. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Tony
Blair. May I first say, I'm delighted to stand here on the podium with Arnold and say to everyone in the world that we together will make sure that we have no problems with emissions whatsoever.
Have you ever seen Jingle All the Way?
Yes, I have. I've seen all of his movies. He's wonderful. I am a big fan of Twins with Danny DeVito. I'd like to say hi to Arnold, congratulate him on his wonderful tribute to the bodybuilding empire as Mr. Olympia, and also say that I'm a gigantic fan of all of his films, especially The Last Action Hero.
Arnold, can you hear me, Arnold?
Yeah, I'm over here. I'm in the back of the room.
Hey, Arnold.
I like this. He's talking about all of my movies.
Hey, Arnold.
I think it's a great thing.
Have you ever heard this?
Yeah, what do you want? I grab the microphone now.
Do you know that if you ask Tony Blair for a cigarette...
Yes.
Do you know what they call a cigarette over in Britain?
Tony.
Yes, Arnold.
What do they call a cigarette over there in your country?
I know what he's doing. It's called a fag.
Oh, that's bad. That's what they call a guy that's riding the lobos over here.
So yeah, you could ask Tony Blair, if he wanted to smoke a fag.
Yes, Tony, smoke a fag.
I'm not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about greenhouse gas emissions, one of the great problems that doesn't seem to be addressed correctly by the federal government.
Mr. Blair.
Yes, I'm standing by.
You seem to be an educated man.
Yes, I am.
Despite your friendship with President Bush, you seem to be an educated man.
We have a friendship. However, I must say that he's not doing enough to prevent pollution. Pollution is one of the worst things that anyone can deal with. You should regulate
but
it
seriously,
as a government.
Dude, yes. Look to the man. I can't
speak to you on behalf of the Queen, Scotland Yard, tea and crumpets, and everything else.
I can't see you. I can only imagine he's either on your left or right, but really...
I'm sorry?
Look at the Cro-Magnon display in front of you. prehistoric man. The man that you're meeting with has the brain the size of a dog. How can you... Now, really, you are an educated man.
Might I stop you right then and tell you...
Yes?
...that I am looking right now at Arnold Schwarzenegger, and I will say...
Say what?
...that I know for a fact that all of your accusations are untrue. No man represents the American spirit more than this fine gentleman to my left with his bulky biceps. I salute Arnold Schwarzenegger and his tireless effort to provide each and every Californian with an opportunity to breathe clean air.
Why don't you ask him if he knows what UK stands for?
Arnold, the disc jockey that's interviewing us currently, wishes to know what is the UK.
Here you go. Here's your answer.
Oh, dear. Uncle Cracker?
No. It's the United Kingdom. I will not chastise my American governor friend for making an error like that. There are many people that might not know certain ways of speaking.
Why don't you ask...
Certain nuances.
Okay, ask Arnold.
I want...
In your home country...
Yes.
What side of the road do you drive on?
In the UK. Arnold, the disc jockey has asked me to ask you what side of the road you drive on.
In the UK.
I'm going to guess no cars whatsoever.
No, we drive on the left side of the road. Now, what are you attempting to demonstrate his lack of certain intellectual abilities?
Do you speak Pig Latin?
I speak fluent Pig Latin.
Okay. Ah, good. Ize.
Yes.
Oran me.
I a understand a
Ummer day and they Ushbe.
Utre.
Okay then
I may ask me Elte Uye. Uye Ixbe Ive Uthre. Arnold is not foul mouthed though. Mr. Bush is quite foul mouthed.
True.
But he used the word S in front of me the other day.
Mm-hmm.
When he was talking about Hezbollah. He said the S word when he was speaking of Hezbollah.
Why are you meeting with Arnold Schwarzenegger? I mean, you're the goddamn leader of Britain.
I am the Prime Minister of England, and I would like to say that I am grateful to the California governor for having me today so that we can form this partnership. And above and beyond all that, he's so fine. Wouldn't you agree?
Arnold, can you hear me?
It's very, very fine.
So fine.
And it has been such a very, very, very pleasurable task to meet with Arnold and have meetings with him. He took me to his private gymnasium, showed me all of his wonderful apparatus that he uses to develop his physique, which I might say, in the post-50 era, has still maintained his physique. Look at him. If you could see, you
can. Arnold, can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm over here.
Spell Iraq.
I-R-A-K.
There you go.
Don't chastise the gentleman because he has challenged in the area of spelling. Commend him for the efforts that he's putting forth to prevent our planet from becoming overly polluted.
He doesn't understand the greenhouse effect.
But you have to understand what a thrill it is for me to come from the UK and sit with Arnold and discuss the matters of the day and enjoy his fine aroma.
Hey, Arnold.
The aroma of Arnold is not to be missed by man or woman, or may I say beast.
Can you still hear me, Arnold?
Yeah, I'm over here in the corner, Don.
Hey, step up. I want to ask you something about today's crunch.
Hi, how are you doing? I was doing some crunches while you were talking to the Prime Minister of Britain.
I bet that you are a big Mel Gibson supporter. Are you not?
Oh, they warned me about you that you are going to ask me the questions about this, and I am prepared for this. I have a prepared answer for you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
As part of the Hollywood community and actors in Hollywood, I would like to say that we are saddened by the comments of Mel Gibson, and we wish him the clear head and the thing to do a better job when he gets before the authorities.
Hey, Arnold.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, Arnold.
Yeah, well.
Guess where Mel's going to go into rehab?
Where's he going?
I don't know. Someplace in New York.
Oh, now, see, now you're killing me with that. You're not going to make me laugh, Don Geronimo. My papa liked Mel Gibson. Yeah.
Wasn't your dad a Nazi?
My father was misrepresented as a Nazi. We don't like to talk about that. I've been told that I should low-key that.
Yeah.
Keep that, as you say, in your pig Latin, on the on low day.
Hey, oh,
keep
hey.
That on the on low day.
When did you learn pig Latin?
Just briefly, I'm saying... Atke, og day, umche. That means cat, dog, jump. What do you think of that? But I'm really happy. You have to come and visit us out in Sacramento.
Well, I would if Mike would only allow it.
Sacramento, California. I'd like to thank the Prime Minister and Don Geronimo. And if you'd like to see me, come out to my house. We'll have a cigar. Go to my gym.
Well, good talking to you, Mr. Blair.
Thank you. Goodbye, Don. I got to go work out.
Okay, I-R-A-K.
Hello?
Hello. Oh, hold on. Let me get your music. Yeah.
Thank you so much. It's been always a pleasure, a very, very significant pleasure to speak with you, an American disc jockey. I know that in our country we wish we had the talent on the airwaves that you possess in this country.
May I leave you with an icebreaker?
Arnold causes global warming in my knuckles.
Here's an icebreaker.
No one can wear a pair of pants like he can, with the British cut. That, of course, is hiked up underneath the breasts.
What's the difference between the Queen Mother and a pair of old shoes?
What is the difference between the Queen Mother and an old pair of shoes?
You could eat an old pair of shoes if you had to.
Oh, so it's good.
He likes
it. That's lovely. You're speaking about, of course, eating at the Y. You're talking about oral. That's fabulous. I'm going to take that place on Britain 1 or whatever I'm flying home to. Looking forward to it. Got a good show.
Well,
thank you so much.
Thank you for being on the show. Thank you for discussing global warming with us.
Might I say, as we sign off here in California,
yes.
It was indeed... A pleasure to be with you, Tom. I wish you Godspeed and have a safe trip home, wherever you may be. Oral. Very funny. The Queen Mom.
Okay, bye.
Eat at the Y, Don.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Goodbye, Don. So long. The Governor signing away.
An honor.
Dunkershire.
And... There. Are we clear?
Well, all right. Yeah, we're both done. Yeah.
We are clear.
Very, very unlikely pair.
Nice to hear from both of them. And a true story.
Yes.
Those dicks are really meeting together.
Well, yeah, because Bush isn't doing it. Arnold's, going around the president.
Let's see. What are we not going to get to today? You know what?
What?
Buzz is not on that list. Congratulations, Buzz. You made the cut.
Hey, all right.
We are going to forsake today's award-winning episode of Meet the Fartleys.
Oh.
So, Buzz, your news better be good.
I guess it better.
That's all I can say, pal. Because, it's stacking up against Meet the Fartleys.
I know. America's new comedy classic.
Right now, that's the balance that we're doing. We're going to go with Buzz's news or Meet the Fartleys. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So much pressure.
Today, we'll go with Tight Shirt.
All right. Good stuff.
Bring your good stuff.
I got good stuff.
Buzz?
Yes?
We don't ask you anymore.
Right.
What's coming up on the news?
Buzz,
don't ask anymore.
That's right.
Don't ask.
All right.
Don't tell. We'll be right back with Buzz.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
That's changing, isn't it?
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
Up, handsome man, recap news in pleasing baritone. Stay tuned for this and more.
Yeah, more. Grassroots.
Right. Top of feel of the Don and Mike Show.
Yeah. A jam for this band. This rough. What's a jam with the Stones in Maui? And you guys are invited.
What about Bob Jungle Duck Garage?
These guys are fags. How'd you get the jacket?
I'm Stu Nahan.
Stu Nahan just got his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Really? Stu Nahan probably deserves it, right?
Along with Donald Trump.
Probably could do that.
Buzz Burbank's news and comments tonight. Oh, Buzz, you're double sponsored.
Wow.
Brought to us by Value City Furniture of Falls Church, VA.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to Tom, the Value City General Manager, making our brand new Don and Mike building cozy with our brand new furniture.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Nice stuff. And now here's Guy Birdley. Hi, Guy.
Hi, Don and Mike. Last week, a reporter asked Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld if he'd characterize the fighting in Iraq between the Sunnis and the Shiites as a civil war. His answer? He said he'd have to think about that.
There's nothing civil about it.
Well, clearly, he has.
They're very uncivilized.
You're right.
They're acting like animals over there, fighting and hurting each other. It's uncivilized.
This is Norm Peterson.
This is Donald Rumsfeld.
Well, obviously, he has thought about it. In a Defense Department briefing yesterday, Rumsfeld agreed that Iraq is, quote, closer than ever to civil war. But he made it clear this is not your great-great-great-grandfather's civil war.
I'm rooting for the North.
Quoting Rumsfeld, it seems to me that this is not a classic civil war at this stage. It certainly isn't like our civil war.
And I don't even know the sides, Rob, but I just knew that if I took North, you would take South.
Son, I say, son, that's the war between the states.
Where are you telling me my Confederate money is no good now?
That's right, Abdul. But I say thank you, son.
I say, son.
Leghorn, Leghorn.
So Rumsfeld has clarified it. The civil war that we're apparently on the verge of in Iraq is not at all like the civil war that was fought in this country.
Yeah, no S.
For one thing, and no muskets. In London, meanwhile, Britain's biggest...
No slaves, right?
That, too.
Well, I bet they have slaves over there.
Right, yeah.
I bet they still do that.
That was Lincoln's whole ticket in.
Right, exactly.
Right. What if you get someone over there with a big stovepipe hat?
That would be
Don Geronimo's Civil War surgeon.
In London, meanwhile, Britain's biggest theme park has canceled Muslim Fun Day. For one day, September 17th, the park would ban the usual music, gambling, and drinking, and the rides would be segregated to keep the Muslim men and women apart.
I wish my buddy George was here, because he can really ululate. I got an Arab buddy that goes, oh, yeah.
They were going to keep the Muslim men and women apart, because that's how they roll.
The funniest thing that ever happened, we're out one night, and my buddy George is standing next to me, and I meet a couple of, it might have been one of the nights we did one of our appearances. And these two Marines come up, and they're saying, I say thank you for the service to the country. And George is standing right next to me, and for whatever reason, he's as American as apple pie, and he does this.
Sometimes you just have to laugh at the conflict. Well, for Muslim Fun Day at this London theme park, there would have been a strict dress code in accordance with Muslim religious law.
Muslim Fun
Day. But the special day has now been canceled due to a lack of interest. Insufficient ticket sales, they say.
Attention Muslims! All your favorite characters wearing Muslim garb.
The cancellation.
Pizza and hot dogs for... kosher hot dogs for the kiddies.
And what little Muslim doesn't like cotton candy?
It's Muslim Sunday
at the theme park.
At SeaWorld.
How do you go on the water slide? Now, the cancellation of Muslim Fun Day comes as a relief to the couple planning to get married there that day, somewhere between the ripsaw and the corkscrew. They had been told that the bride and her maids would have to cover up because of Muslim Fun Day. Elvis Presley's teddy bear, dead at the age of 68.
Well, please, I've heard this story, Jack.
Did you see this?
I saw this on the news today. Did you see the slobber on the dog's mouth?
That was a great story. That's what made... And it made the thing that made the story was the Doberman's drool.
The dog had a drool like in that movie with Tom Hanks.
They do drool a lot.
What was that movie called? Turner and Hooch.
Turner and Hooch, right?
Turner and Hooch.
Well, Elvis's teddy bear named...
That's what I wanted to do with Kathleen Turner.
Turner and Hooch.
Turner and Hooch. Hi, baby. I'm Elvis Aaron Presley, TCB.
Call me if her condition worsens. Mabel the bear was ripped to shreds when she was mauled by a guard dog that was supposed to protect her. The bear was considered worth over $75,000.
You see, that was my bear. You see, it was my bear. This is Elvis Presley. It's my brother, Elvis Presley.
Hey.
It was our bear.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
A goddamn animal.
Only they had seen what that Doberman did to my bear.
If you put that goddamn animal down, I'll rip its dog's tongue out by the roots. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. The owner of the bear, Sir Benjamin Slade of Somerset,
I'm back again.
I'm Sir Elvis Presley. I'll kick your goddamn ass. You ruined my teddy bear.
Sir Slade had loaned it to a local tourist trap, which has a Doberman named Barney. The dog's owner says Barney just went berserk, quoting him, "It's a horrific mess with bits of teddy bear everywhere."
I didn't know that they were special.
I obviously saw the same report Mike did this morning on the news.
Right. Just with one shot of the dog, just with the drool running out of its mouth.
And they've got the shot of what looks like a little girl's dream room.
Right.
I mean, with shelves with hundreds of teddy bears, and all of them absolutely just obviously by a dog eaten to bits. And then they show Elvis's teddy bear.
Yeah. Headless, I think.
He's got the head off.
It's got the stomach ripped open and all the stuffing on the floor.
Right. And the dog is standing there looking at the camera.
Not fazed at all.
No, and the dog just has that look like, well, you know, what'll I do? And he's got the biggest loogie coming out of the side of his mouth. And it's a one dripper that is hanging precariously. It will not hit the floor. It's just hanging there.
It was very good. It really. And the guy from NBC, the weird-looking guy, Gregory.
David Gregory
had a funny line that was comparing it to Mel Gibson, which I thought was pretty funny, and kind of lost on all the anchors. He said something like, the dog wishes to apologize to the entire stuffed animal community and wants to meet with stuffed animal leaders and something like that.
And you know why they didn't laugh? Yeah. They didn't laugh because it was funny and it was timely.
Yeah, it was timely and a little dangerous.
I'm sure Matt Lauer understood it, but I'm sure Campbell Brown did not.
You're right about that.
And I'm sure Al Roker was just thinking about the heat wave.
Didn't Al Roker have his stomach sewed shut or something like that?
Yeah.
I mean, what's the deal?
Permanently closed?
I saw him with his little, like, seersucker suit jacket off when they were doing their little pig roast segment.
Yeah.
And Al's put it back on a little bit.
Yeah.
As a fat guy, I know when you're wearing the pants that tell you that it's a size 40 waist, but you're really a size 44 waist, you shouldn't be doing that. And Al was wearing suspenders, and you could just see the accordion top of his pants.
Oh, yeah.
It looks like he's serious how to do it.
Genetics always wins in the end.
I mean, does that, like, do the stitches dissolve and you start eating again? How does that work?
Haven't we discussed Al Roker and the fact that he still does, like, shows on the Food Network, even though he's had the stomach staple?
Well, his big thing on the Today Show is when you'll see him with a food segment and he takes that tiny little bite. And I'm like, come on, do a real... But he looks like he's getting bigger, and now I'd like to see him on the show eat a whole pizza.
The surgery makes the stomach the size of an egg.
Yeah, I was going to say, wouldn't it be impossible for him to overeat now?
It
stretches back out again. So, like, once they sew it up, it can expand?
If you overeat, yes.
All right.
Yeah, if you beyond what stomach you've been left with, yeah, absolutely.
look at me. I've had that surgery 3 times.
A high school football coach in Bowie, Maryland, is charged with pimping at least one teenaged girl.
Kathy Lee Gifford's hometown.
Sex pervert.
Exactly, Rob. The scheme fell apart when a cop found a 15-year-old girl in a car with an older man in a park at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
They were engaged in a sex act.
Yeah.
For money.
Yeah.
Girl told the cop her pimp is Aaron Burrows, the junior varsity assistant football coach at Bowie High.
Oh, sure, Coach Burrows.
She says she did him, too, back when she was 14.
Wow.
The 35-year-old Burroughs wasn't just an alleged pimp, and he wasn't just a coach.
Down and out.
He also drives a Metro bus.
It's hard out there for an assistant football coach.
And as the epidemic spreads...
It's getting hot in here. Nelly.
As the epidemic spreads...
I'm the coach.
Coach Burroughs.
That's what happened when she was 14.
Hey.
Now... As the epidemic spreads of teachers doing their students, the courtrooms are heating up as well.
Again, where were these people? And Buzz, you've just triggered a memory.
Yes.
You know, I know this used to happen to Rosie O'Donnell all the time.
Right.
My God. Coach Sidorek raped me.
Really?
Now that I'm thinking about it, my high school football coach from Magruder High School, right here in Rockville, Maryland.
Having a little repressed memory?
Andy Sidorek.
Needs to live around here.
He does.
Coach Sidorek.
As a matter of fact, I don't know, it was a couple of years ago, Robbie. Didn't his wife send a thing in, like, say, for
his daughter?
For his birthday.
His 100th birthday.
Yeah. The guy was, I was no athlete in high school.
No, neither
was I. Look at my picture on the website. I played center, though, on the football team, which is like, really, you know, where's the retarded kid?
He's really retarded.
Okay, you can be the center.
Thanks, that means.
But I got to start.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, that was what it was all about. And this guy, Coach Sidorek.
You don't like Coach Sidorek. It's another love-hate thing.
Yeah, it is.
He was great. He made me the example from day one.
Right.
By having
his way with you on the field.
One of the first things I did, they give everybody a helmet. And the helmet has 2 bars on it.
Right.
I immediately went to the training guy and I said, give me the cage. Give me the full thing.
To look more like a ball player.
Right. So I come out the next day, and I'm the only one
right.
that's asked for this. And, of course, and what he does is he grabs me by the face mask. I'm wearing the helmet. And he starts pulling me around.
Right.
Like, oh, he thinks he looks like a big shot with this, huh? It's a big shot. Well, we're going to do 10 more laps today. Because, you know, it's like, and then everybody hates me. So at one point, we're having practice. And Jeff Hale, the good-looking quarterback, was... got his hands down there, you know. Down! He was one of these guys that loved doing like this. Boo, 82! Boo, 82! Meanwhile, you're just leaning over going, Jesus Christ, call the play. Well, I farted.
On purpose?
Yes. Yeah. And, well, it was creeping.
But you could have suppressed it.
I could have held it, and I farted. And I mean, it broke everybody up. Mm-hmm. Everybody was just so... Everything.
Broke up the line.
Funniest thing. Sonora comes over. I swear to on Frieda's life, this true story of Frieda's grave. He comes over, he says, okay, that's nice, that's good. You think that's good? You want to try that with me? And I said something like, no, sir. And he said, bend over and get in the stance right now.
Uh-oh.
You don't have the guts to do that to me. So I'm bending over, and I'm like, my God, I'm not going to fart in Sidorik's face.
Right.
He's like, are you ready? I said, yes. And I swear to God, he kicked me in the ass, and he had cleats on.
Right.
And he kicked me in the ass so far that I went like 5 yards, and everybody's standing there watching. And he's like, okay, get up! Get up!
And that's your, really, you have told that story. I know that is one of your most significant childhood memories.
Oh, it is. And another great one. And again, I have no...
And you respect Coach Sidorik.
Oh, I love
for
it.
Doing that.
I have no great memories like scoring touchdowns or anything. My memories are always like, at one point on a very hot day, I don't know, I was over in the corner and I was wearing, like some short t-shirt over my shoulder pads.
Nice.
He's like, yeah, he's like...
showing the abs.
And he said something like, you're not wearing what everybody on the team is wearing. And I dared to say something lippy, like something like, well, it's hot. And he said, well, you know, like, no ass, Sherlock, it's hot. Wait till it gets cold. And I said, oh, I can handle cold weather like you wouldn't believe. I only complain in hot weather. He remembers this, okay? So now it's November, right?
I didn't hear this one.
It's November, and we're having practice at 4:30 in the afternoon. And it's like 15, 20, 30 degrees outside.
Right.
Everybody's putting their stuff on, making their way outside. I feel a tug on the back of my neck, and he says, hey! I go, hey, Coach. He goes, what are you doing? You got a sweatshirt on there. He says, I thought you liked it cold.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
what a great coach.
He said, I want you outside today in nothing but your absolute summer outfit that you had on.
Right.
I said, I don't have the t-shirt. He said, we'll get you a t-shirt. Because it was a t-shirt that was like cut off right at boob line. Right. So it would fit right under
the
shoulder pads.
That's like the ultimate football coach.
So then we're starting. And, you know, there's 40 guys out there. We're all doing calisthenics. And he says, and I think, you know, everybody's doing the team, 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 team. And he says, let's get someone up here to lead today. And I know right away, you know, I'm not a team leader, but it's going to be me.
Yeah. Right.
Because it's me, because I'm freezing my ass off. Thanks to Coach Sidorik.
Coach Sidorik, perfect name for a perfect
who
coach.
Who later raped me.
He did not stop.
He raped me repeatedly.
It.
He
You're
raped
kidding.
Me.
Stop, he's lying. Stop.
It. All right, it was consensual. Consensual, but Andy Sidorik touched me.
Consensual. You don't need to say anything more after consensual, okay? It's already admissible. You loved it and told the truth. It was that t-shirt.
He was the greatest. And he was like a, I don't know, some real smart teacher. He's not like one of those guys that had a, like a shop class job.
No, right. Brilliant man. How do you think he was able to lure you in?
So I remember one day I had to go into some class and he was like the fill-in teacher. It was like I walk in, I was like, oh, no.
No, it's Coach Sidorik.
No. And even in that situation, he would say, ah, I like my guys around me.
Now, yes, I'm your substitute today, and you're going to teach this class, and you're going to be naked.
Why don't you just have a seat right up front?
Sidorik.
And then he raped me.
Oh, he did not.
Repeatedly.
Consensual.
Actually, I had a high school coach named Raper.
That's it. Buzz will not be telling the story. You're just going to have to imagine what happened with that.
Teachers doing their students lead the hot court cases. That's our story when we return.
Oh, thank you, Buzz.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
what's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Back with another segment of Buzz Burbank here.
They will cure your irritable ball syndrome. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Once again, just through the law of attrition, it's like last man standing.
Right.
Because we've just been here so long, we're finally starting to make some money from Westwood One.
Very good.
And this segment of our show is brought to you by Esurance.com, instant online car insurance.
Excellent. Very nice.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
All right.
When we're having dinner at Frank Sinatra's favorite restaurant.
Hey, baby.
And now here is Buzz. Hi there, Buzz.
Hi, Donna, Mike. Yes, as the epidemic spreads of teachers doing their students, the courtrooms are heating up as well. Take the case of 38-year-old Deanna Bobo, who used to teach around Fort Smith, Arkansas.
Here's my Bobo.
Oh, the testimony in this case has been graphic. A student walks in and sees Ms. Bobo and two male students both groping her chest.
Pretty young for that, aren't you?
She reportedly told her students she was wearing a thong. She invited the boys to her house while her husband was out of town.
I can hear. You don't have to shout.
That's the
husband. What do you want?
Yeah. One witness even took the fifth. And one boy described how Ms. Bobo wore a short skirt one day with no underwear.
Show him the way, dude.
The defense objected. How could he know that? And with that, the defense attorney spread her legs and asked the witness,
oh,
can you tell if I'm wearing underwear?
Wow. Okay, hold on. So one of the kids says that the teacher one day
he's on the witness stand
showed up at school and she's not wearing underpants.
Right. He's telling the story.
So on the stand,
the prosecution says, how can you possibly know this? I'm wearing a skirt, and she spreads her legs and says, can you tell if I'm wearing underwear?
Ah,
boy, I wish I was sitting in on that trial. Let's go to the jury.
Baby.
After
the nose knows.
Mm-hmm. After,
oh, this is going to hurt.
After prosecution objections, the boy left the witness stand in tears.
Oh, dear.
I'll let him have the key to your cell anytime he wants it.
It wasn't.
What a faggot he is. I mean, please, what are you getting laid by this teacher or what?
Were the tears caused by her spreading her legs?
It wasn't.
What do you mean? Like, it was,
like cutting onions.
Onions, yeah.
He talks how that turns stump. He throw a bucket of water on him.
Bad air quality.
It wasn't until this week that we learned of a bizarre study conducted by the British government back in 1980. Like our own government, British officials were trying to sell the safety of nuclear power. This was just after the accident at Three Mile Island here in the U.S. So the British did a study of different ways a person could die and the odds of dying that way. Shark attack, 300 million to one.
Good.
Theme park accident, the same. Plane crash.
Oh, not at Disney World.
Plane crash. Yeah, maybe. plane crash, 11 million to one.
Not on Muslim Fun Day.
Lightning, 10 million to one. Nuclear meltdown radiation, about the same, 10 million to one. Coconut falling on your head, 250 million to one. And they say about 100 to 150 people die every year around the world from coconuts falling on their heads.
That hill again?
That's bananas.
Flipping bananas.
Adalberto Cardoza has in his 39 years on
what's
the planet.
Name?
Adalberto Cardoza.
Guilty!
Definitely from out of town.
Well,
guilty! I think he might be in this
next
case,
next story.
Don,
guilty!
He had a clean record. In his 39 years on the planet, he had never had a run-in with the cops before.
He worked at the Daily Planet?
No, but in the wee
Clark,
hours...
Did he work at Clark Kent?
In the wee hours yesterday, at a McDonald's in Pawtucket, Rhode Island, Adalberto went insane.
Home of the Pawtucket Red Sox.
They wouldn't let him order after he walked up to the drive-thru window. And then they wouldn't let him in.
Well, now, listen, Buzz, excuse me, but just about everybody knows, and I think everybody's tried it, you really can't,
no, you're
and
not
especially
supposed to.
Late
it's
at night.
Safety thing.
They will not do it.
It's right. Insurance
you can
thing.
Stand there and
right.
say,
mm-hmm.
I've got money, and they will not.
But apparently something about this guy spooked him because they wouldn't let him into the main restaurant either, or it was closed. I don't know. The story doesn't say. In any event, Adalberto punched his way through a plate glass window and entered the McDonald's.
Well, I've been that hungry before.
While wearing nothing but boxer shorts, dripping with sweat and blood, Adalberto took on the employees.
Ah, yeah.
His own special sauce.
And then he took on the cops, punching their dog and throwing hands full of milkshakes at them. He pulled the 200-volt power cord out of the wall and threatened to, quote, kill us all. He, the dog, and the cops all got shocked by the electricity.
I'm taking out the Hamburglar.
Another cop with a baton had to knock them all loose from the circuit. Adalberto and his clean record are now in jail.
See?
And crooks, as it turns out, are not as stupid as tourists. In Buffalo, New York, a man and two women from Pennsylvania were robbed at gunpoint at 2:30 in the morning yesterday. The traveling trio got into this predicament by accepting the man's offer of a tour of Buffalo.
at 2:30 in the morning. What kind of person accepts that offer? What
Joe.
Kind of tourist goes to Buffalo?
Joe.
Tracy, you want to go on the free tour?
We can see the fall.
A broke butt woman and some bareback cowboys after the break.
Oh, all right. Thank you, bud.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Flown by.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating
and
entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
They understand the arts of the bunt. Don and Mike.
Remember, everybody, don't be pissed at us tomorrow. We're not here, but it's only because we're going up to CBS to see what we can do about helping them save the cash flow.
Yes, that's what we're going to do. We're going to bring our accountants with us.
And which is good and which is bad, red or black? If you're in the red,
red is bad. Red I thought was good. No, red is bad.
That's
you're in debt. It's a prettier color.
It is nice.
I'm so stupid.
I hate to say black is good.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Finally, a Chicago woman is suing Borders Books and the company that services their restrooms. She wants at least $100,000. She says a faulty toilet seat caused her to slip to the floor.
I hate you. I hate your big fat ball head.
Causing her multiple spine injuries and multiple surgeries.
Did she get multiple spine injuries?
She slipped to the floor off of the faulty, improperly connected toilet. She says Borders knew all along the seats weren't on right. Sure, it's funny till somebody busts their ass. There's been another toilet gluing incident, by the way.
Oh, no, they're at it again.
In Council Bluffs, Iowa, at the big shopping
That's
mall
right,
there.
In Iowa.
Somebody put some kind of glue on a toilet seat. Midwestern shoppers watched in horror as a 53-year-old woman was wheeled out of there by paramedics.
Hello!
Past the fire trucks and into an ambulance. The victim was treated at a hospital for embarrassment and skin burns. And in Alabama this week, a man was arrested for walking naked along a highway wearing nothing but a cowboy hat and cowboy boots. To his credit, he was waving an American flag. Actually, there was another guy dressed exactly the same way, doing exactly the same thing, but he was gone by the time the cops got there. The guy they arrested explained they'd been to a party and, quote, things got out of hand. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Did the guy say he hated Jews?
No, he said no such thing.
Are you Buzz?
Yes.
Are you a Jew?
No, I'm not.
All right, Sugar Teats.
Are you?
I'm just doing Mel Gibson thing. So we got to fly. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, Mel.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Buzz might be.
In spirit.
Oh, and which Mel were you referring me to there?
I was referring to the one that we might see also tomorrow.
The good one or the bad one? Well, bye then.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show. 3.